Welcome back to the only show that breaks down, cracks up, skews, and reviews each week's DC Comics. I'm the new Golden Age Yellow Lantern, Eric Shea.
And I'm Jim Warner.
And this is the Weird Science DC Comics Podcast, episode number 530.
It is 530. Oh my goodness, is that an anniversary, Eric? Are we going to have an oversized issue? I guess not, because we have four books. Four books this week that are left for the main show. And we'll get right into this if you want to listen to, you know, say me and Eric talk about Alan Scott, the Green Lantern number 5, or Amazon Attack number 6, or both, a penultimate and a finale. Go over to our Patreon, help us out as well as also getting a bunch of other exclusive and fun shows, Eric, and early access to these shows that we do, including this one right here, and that is at patreon.com/weirdscience. Other places you can find us are over on the internets at our website, weirdsciencedccomics.com. You can see reviews by Sus Gabe. Go to the Twitters at Weird Science DC, and then check out our YouTube channel at Weird Science Comics. That is a big envelope of things, Eric. We do it all, except
envelope.
Manga we don't do, because I ended up getting strikes for doing nothing. It was weird. The idea
start
of
doing something, then.
Those copyright strikes you get. Well, I ended up getting a copyright strike because they thought that I was sharing the book or something, but it was just the review. It was just how it was, I don't know, presented. I have no idea, but I had to take all those down. No more manga over there. And then I said,
Ken,
like,
nice things over here.
It was kind of a deal where I'm like, oh man, maybe I'll try this, I'll do this. And then I talked to like two other people and I'm like, no, don't mess with manga. They'll strike you down. they end up having separate companies and bots that will just look for titles and then they'll submit it in the way that you have the YouTubes go. They just give you a strike and ask questions later. And it's
so I guess don't mess
with
Scientology or manga.
That's it, I guess. Those two things, don't mess with, and possibly Taylor Swift. I don't know, Eric. But here we go. I do know that if you end up doing parody songs, they'll try to get you there, too. So that's why we don't have any more, Eric. But we might down the line. We were talking about
might
it beforehand.
We?
This thing that I used to do them, they ended up charging me a crazy amount of money. It shouldn't have, and I'm pissed off, Eric. I'm still mad. But here we are, and like I said, we have four books, not a ton. You know, one has a backup, right? Pretty cool. We'll see.
Pretty cool,
we'll
huh?
see. A lot of people, again, and I said this last week, are a little down on some of these books. We're going to try to have fun with them, as Eric says, skew and review. And the song said it. Was that Bon Jovi, Eric? I don't know.
It was
more like a Dio, maybe like a Rainbow kind of thing, right? You'd be down with
kind of like a Rainbow, like,
you know, Rainbow, the band Rainbow. So we're going to be going into that pretty quickly. But before we do, we have to, you know, give a little shout out, give a little roll call, badass roll call. It is there. Here we go. I got to get to the page. I'm doing too much rapid. D-Man 3001, David Pink, Trevitt, Wakazashi Gray. I'll be talking to him tonight, but it'll be tomorrow for him. He's a time traveler. Is he one of the linear men? Dead Nation. Yeah. Eric K. Big Z. The Mark Claire Show. The Annihilator. Ted Probst. I love Punchline. Stork. Michael S. Cam. Matt Razor. He's a doctor. Idea.
Oh.
Niels Atiwart. Stephen Baum. He isn't. Jason Colby. Sue 42 to you and me. Michael G. Ken Halleck. Comic Boom Rocky. Rut Gut Rudy. Gut rooting Mark Jagger. Ended up going to the buffet with him this past week. I'm still feeling it. Phil Abeer, Ruben, Carlos, Noah Favre, Matthew Rapier, Luke Hollywood, Simon, Luis Manship, Andrew Belfast, Swanee, Anthony G, Josh Vermillion, Batman Beyond, Mark, Brandy Murray, B. Muir, he's up there in Buffalo, Canada, and doxing, possessing. I was going to say Canada again. In Minnesota, it's double A run. See, I almost had it again, Eric. And the thing when we record, it's one of those things that maybe people would think like, oh, well, they record earlier in the week or whatnot. We always forget. I forgot about St. Patrick's Day a couple of weeks ago to say it. And then I'm talking to people this week and like, okay, so on Sunday, we're doing this. They're like, yeah, so Sunday's Easter. I'm like, oh, is that what it is? I'm like, oh, God. So I don't celebrate holidays much. I don't know if you have big Easter plans, but just a shout out if you do celebrate Easter, happy Easter. We always forget we're like in our own little deal of comics.
Not usually concerned about it personally. It's like, you know, it's going to be out there. I don't need to tell people it's going to be out there.
Yeah, most of the people in these things are like, happy Easter. Happy Easter, baby. Merry Christmas. You know, stuff like that. That's right. Yeah. I just want to, you know,
like
try to extend out a warm welcome. Warm hand of friendship. I know, that'd be weird. That'd
be like
you.
A clammy hand of friendship.
It'd be a clammy, wet hand of friendship.
Of awkward friendship.
Of awkwardness. Yeah, yeah. I was hoping that you were going to go eat with me and Mark at the buffet, but you have made the, you know, the thing. You've laid down the gauntlet that you will not go an hour and a half for food. But
just the idea,
I wanted to trick you.
I was hoping that you would go. Like, I found out about it 2 days ago, a day after you went.
I know that you wouldn't go, so I didn't even ask. But I was like, the idea was, like, I think even Mark might have said, well, tell him we're doing something else and then trick him. I'm like, he wouldn't go to the other thing. Like, how are you going to trick this guy to do it? You'd have to go with a burlap sack over the head, and we're off going.
I just love the idea of tricking him. I tell Mark, like, I am completely tapped out on cash this week. Maybe if you trick him, money will show up in his wallet out of nowhere.
Well, there you go. I would have paid, Eric. That would have been the
That is
thing
not anything that I would you've ever
heard.
Would
well, no, yeah. But it would have shocked you. I think
I would have thought you were lying. I thought you would have dined and ditched me.
I realized the whole thing here when I'm there and we're going. We're getting in line. It's a long line. I thought it wasn't going to be as crowded. It was during the day. So we're going. And when we got to the register, I said, you know, he started fumbling. I'd like to think he was fumbling around for his wallet, trying to make sure that, you know, but I know that he wasn't like doing that. But I said, oh, no, I'm going to pay. And he had a stunned look of shock on him. And I'm like, this guy I only met once. I talk to all the time. Like, he even knows that I'm a cheap ass. I'm like, holy moly. I actually did kind of feel bad. Like, am I that bad?
It has been a persona of yours for like 7 years.
7 years, try like 80. I end up,
for
and
what
then
people
I'll,
know
and
though.
Then what I end up doing, like I have my card and I put it in wrong, so it looks like it's, oh my goodness, I better call the bank. And I didn't do that. I paid because I thought it was pretty cool. And he came all that way and helps out a lot with the podcast. So I
just
end
like
up
the
doing
idea.
That.
I'm just going to go to the bathroom, Mark, and then insert the space hog sound. I'm out of here.
It's the funny thing is, when I got there, I really had to go to the bathroom, but I thought that would be a problem. So I'm like, nope. We went in. We had a lot of food, tons of food. Mark mixed in stuff like rice, nonsense, bread, nonsense. He had a salad, nonsense. There.
Stuff he enjoys,
yeah,
nonsense,
I went full out meat, and a man's got to eat and threw up a couple times afterwards. Yeah, I haven't been eating meat.
that's the thing. But Mark was able to enjoy his food and not vomit afterwards.
That might be true. He did say that he could tell by the end that I was starting to not feel so well. And then he said, maybe it was the farts that were going left and right. Oh, and he said, I hope that, you know, you tell everybody how bad you feel because of this lunch that we had. I'm like, yeah, it was great, though. I love the food. Good food and conversation is what it was. Though, if you would have been there, and Mark will be the only one, obviously, who will know this, you would have been so uncomfortable with the conversation that we were having. You would have wanted out, Eric. You wouldn't have been involved. So it's a good thing. It is a good thing. But thanks all of the badasses and everybody on the Patreon. And as I said, if you want to help support us for what we do here, but also get a ton of exclusive shows, a lot of them fun, Eric. Can you imagine that? Some fun shows.
Not all of them, but some of them.
Not all of them. Sometimes you got to get on like the Professor Jimmy hat. You got to do it. I'm no longer an edutainer. I'm more of an educator. Thank you. Always is. Well, I take off my Eagles sweatshirt and then I put on my New Balance hoodie. That's my professor of comics hoodie, Eric. But now sometimes you got to, you know, teach people. Sometimes you have to entertain. And we have a lot of fun. Well, maybe that's the edutainment that people are searching for. Maybe I just haven't gotten that, you know, mix yet. I'm still working at it. I'm still working at it, though. But in all of this, this whole rigmarole here, we're heading off to the books. Like I said, there's some rough ones this week. I tried to goad Eric into giving me a little bit, show us a little poker face there. And
I saw you sending me all these messages, like, I'm doing stuff. I'm like, I don't know why at this point in time, like the idea of you eating as much, not thinking you're going to vomit, but you think I'm going to give you something.
I just thought you were going to say, yeah, it's rough.
We're getting on hour. We'll talk then, baby.
Well, I like to know. Then I kind of get in the frame of mind. Reading them. I was throwing a lifeline out. I needed somebody to commiserate with really quickly because some of the shit was really bad. But we're going to get into that right about now. I hope that, I hope we can skew them with you, Eric. I hope that we don't lie to the peoples. And I hope that we can skew and review and have some fun with it, but we'll get to that right about now.
Come on, girl. Yeah, yeah. Round three in your area. Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years. Round three story started out. Yeah, call it a comeback. It's been here for years. Round three story started out by getting lots of cheers. But when we won, everyone. A big thing. Now he loses it all the time. Man. Hey, hey. Batman's got a demon in his head. I'd rather be a wolfman. Just end up dead. Think of something else instead. Because Batman's got a demon in his head. I know you're older now, but you shouldn't be a slouch. You haven't done much besides sleeping on Gordon's couch. Batman's got a demon in his head. I'd rather be a wolf man than just end up dead. Hey, Batman, you're so bad at demon. Yeah, yeah. I'd rather be a wolf man instead of being got something else instead. Cause Batman's got a demon in his head. I know you're older now, but you shouldn't be a slouch. You haven't done much besides sleeping on Gordon's couch. Batman's got a demon in his head. I'd rather be a wolf man than just end up dead. Hey, Batman, there's some kind of demon. Yeah, yeah. I'd rather be a wolf man instead of being got something else instead. Cause Batman's got a demon in his head.
Batman does have a demon in his head, Eric, and he's going to maybe rid himself of it this week. Is it possible?
Which one?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to say that a lot.
The hyperadapter or the asthma?
Both. Yes. No. Yeah, I guess the sun. All he really needed is to go out in the sun, it seemed. A little nice vacation in the desert, because, you know, in this it tells you, like, the desert tells you shit. And then you better listen because the desert knows. I'm like,
I got you. He's on peyote.
Yeah. No, I'm like, desert. I want a dessert. That's what I mean. And I mean like a sundae or something. Eric is what I mean. But oh, my goodness gracious. There's going to be a thing, and I was going to bring it up at the intro, where there's going to be times this podcast, you know, get this, Eric, that I'm just going to throw up my hands and say, I don't know what the hell's going on. It's really big in this episode. Whenever you get a Ram V and a Cy Spurrier together, there's going to be that. But how is there even a worse book by the end? I mean, holy moly, shit goes wrong in these books. But we're going to start with Detective Comics as what would be, you know, Black Pink part two there. Told us it's Detective Comics number 1083. Yes, it is. I actually, you don't realize how much it makes me smile. When I played that the first time, and you said, what genre is that? And I said, that's K-pop. That's a lot like a Black Pink thing. And you're like, you know what? I think I like that. And I'm like, oh.
No. I said, that's my favorite K-pop song
and
of all time.
And I sent you a Black Pink song later that night thinking I had you hooked. It didn't hook you. You didn't even
it didn't talk back. About Batman's a Wolfman.
Well, it may have. It may have, Eric. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. But I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm going to get him. I'm going to reel him in. Wait, it didn't work. It did not work. But
look, all you got to do is keep making songs in that style and, like, you know, about Wolfman, Batman, or DC Comics in general.
That's,
you
know, just
you make it about Universal Monsters and DC comic characters, I will listen to every single K-pop song you put out.
It does have the Wolfman in there that we could use. I'll have the to start Wolfman. Doing it. It's like the next one's going to be about Flash and Frankenstein.
Because I'd rather be a Wolfman than wind up dead, too. I get it.
Yeah, and in that, when I was doing that, I was like, try to come up with something, and I'm like, first, that's the thing. I go rhyme first, meaning second, right? So I'm like, okay, how does, oh, I think it'll work. And I try to convince myself, and I'm like, well, if he does accept being the Wolfman, he'll live. So, okay, I'll work with that. So it did work out, but he's going to throw the Wolfman to the side here, but I don't know.
He'll just go to sleep for a little while.
And tan. At one point he just says,
what's the desert of the mind?
All right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious.
But also in reality.
Yeah. But also in the mind.
Yeah.
So at least in this book, people in the book seem to know what's going on. Like, they're pretending that they
I'm
know.
Jealous.
I tell you, when we get to Flash at the next section, they don't even know what's going on. Everybody just says, I don't know how this works. I'm going to move on. At least they're pretending here. But I'll get more into the concept of why I detest this issue in the series. But it is Detective Comics number 1083, written by Ram V, art by Riccardo Federici and Stefano Raffaele. And the first bit, Lee Lowridge, Ariana Mayer. We do have a backup by Dan Waters. Now, here's the thing. We've talked about this many a time. I don't like to repeat myself so much. You know how it is there. But
yeah.
Ram V did, and he said to me specifically on Twitter that he doesn't write for people. He writes for himself. And every time I read an issue, it just keeps popping in my mind. And this one, I actually started getting angry because the way he said it was, you know, all writers, we're here to write for ourselves. It's a selfish business. Dude, you're in the entertainment business. This stuff is supposed to be entertaining, not just a mind bender that makes no damn sense. I don't even know what's going on half the time, and it gets me angry. That's how it just got me angry again, that idea that he's writing for himself, yet here I am, Eric, with you, having a grand old time talking about it, because even when you start out this issue of the mind, first up, let's remind people how the last issue ended, where we ended up having a hooded figure taken to Talia and say, oh my God, you're not going to believe his face.
Who we found.
Yeah, who we found. And I guess that's Flamingo.
So messed up. I'm guessing it's Flamingo as well, but the thing is,
how is his face messed up?
Well, I'm guessing Flamingo is there, but the person they found is one of the League of Assassins who his face was eaten off by the Flamingo.
But when you go to this, you need to have some sort of progression into it to say, you know, what'd you do to my guy? Well, he does mention messing up faces at one point, but it does not go from point A to point B. And I thought, and I said it on the podcast, oh my God, it's going to be Barbados face. It's a bat face. Oh, what is she going to do? Oh, and then I thought we were going to get, you know, the mumbo jumbo that we get here of like, oh, you finally accepted the bat and we'll do this, that. But in this, you start out, none of that's mentioned. We kind of have to kind of fill in the blanks, but we get into this and I'm like, what's happening? You're making up this, you know, mindscape in Batman, but then what you're really doing throughout all of this issue again is what Ram V, and he's doing it in like, he's doing the same thing a lot of people do, the idea of, you know, Batman accepting what he should be, but also the city's better without him, all this, but also
having the idea of the asthma inside of him being the future Batman that he could be, that he can't even defeat. And Dr. Hurt of the mind, because everything has to be of the goddamn mind, is like, you pathetic son of a bitch, you couldn't even beat your possible future self. And I'm just saying, like, look at this Batman of the future that he's taking on with freaking machine gun shoulders and nipples just firing at him. Like, I don't think the Orgums would even want this.
No, I don't think anybody would. And you think Batman would be? And when you get through this, just the beginning with these kids and they're going to, hey, I'm this guy. I'm like, I'm
well, even the idea of the
kid,
the kids of the mind that he's, who are like almost like the resistance of his mind that he's also trying to help against the future Batman of the mind. These are all characters from the 1600s Gotham that Ram V did previously. And it's just of the mind for no reason.
Yep, it's like, and I see people like when Calum they
ascension.
When they try to like I think it's a lobotomy engine is what I get when I'm reading it. But you end up going through, and I'm like, okay, Riccardo Federici's art's pretty cool. I'm not the biggest fan of the storytelling aspect of it, but he has no chance. I mean, neither of them have a chance in a story like this where you're going through and you're just going, Like, oh my God, here he is. I can tell he's not you, but he's you, but he's that, and he's there. And oh my God, we better get out. Oh no, railgun. Like, what? And then when, like you said, it's to be the idea of, like, you're trying to convince Batman to accept this thing that really feels to me like a knockoff from the Dark Multiverse. You end up having it. It has to be one of those Batman Who or Batman That, you know, one of those things from before.
It almost feels like the Omega Batman that we had in that one, the last night story, I think it was.
Yeah, and that's what I think most people would see and say, oh, look at that. It's not that cool. I mean, it looks pretty badass, but in the situation of trying to get a story and see what's going on. But the whole point of it is, and to bring up the Blackpink song there, Batman is doing nothing. This is all in the mind, and he hasn't done much at all in this entire series. You kept bringing it up. People kept saying, I don't know what Eric's talking about. And then when they think about it, they're like, oh, shit. You're like, he ends up getting caught, hung, grabbed, thrown in the desert. None of sleeping what he's couches. Doing. Sleeping on couches, sleeping in the desert. The guy's sleeping all over the place. And yet here you're supposed to, like, what are we supposed to be?
Catwoman has done more in this run.
What are we supposed to be? Dr. Hurt has. What are we supposed to be, like, is the tension that Batman's going to accept this? Is that, and what it then ends up being is Ram V kind of at points getting up on the soapbox to kind of say, hey, everybody, look, I know the Batmans, but it's nothing new. It's the only reason it's a mind bender is because he tries to go, you know, he's going down the road, but he's going to go around the city to get there. Everything is just stretched and convoluted to the point where Batman then says, I don't need to win.
Well, that's the thing, too, because you have the asthma of, in the mind, the Wolfman demon, but you also have Barbados of the mind who wants Batman to be able to take him on and so he could finally win. Batman resists the asthma. He's resisting the Barbados that are in conflict with each other in his mind, keeping them at bay pretty much. But ultimately, we'll have the Batman who's just completely saying, no to you, no to you. I'm going to lay in the desert until I'm okay again. And even the idea of being okay again, we're okay again for now, it seems like.
So what you get a hint at as well is something that drives me and you both nuts. The idea that you go through a whole run and then at the end you go back to status quo and get applauded. Because at one point, Batman says pretty much, all right, I realize I got to do things differently. When I get back, I'm going to be a good Batman and I'm going to be the guy. What? Like, you haven't done anything in this. Even some of the things where I say some of the dialogue and some of the narration, at one point, you have that compass, that broken compass, just there. And he says, and you have an over narration of it. And it says, he looks at the broken compass in his hand, still unmoored, but somehow less uncertain. And so on a winter wind comes winged and bloody, his last temptation. You didn't say anything.
We have
nothing.
A broken compass that did shit.
Yeah, I love the idea that if it was, it's one of those things where they say, like, a rich person being crazy is eccentric, a poor person is just nuts. This is the idea. If it's me with this compass, and I'm sitting there and I say this, you're like, the hell are you talking about? But people think it's, oh my God, it's so great because it's Batman. It's nothing. It's nothing. It ends up throughout all this. It's just a bunch of words crammed together just to tell you that he would never accept a dark future like this, and he's going to fight his way back to Gotham, and really the fight
and
is...
And change what he's been doing, because what he's been doing isn't working, and by changing what he's doing, of the mind when he falls from Barbados's hands, his costume tears away to the point where his cape just becomes a loincloth coming out like strands off his dick, like flowing behind him, and in the real life he has this as well, and I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, but pretty much we're able to overcome Dr. Hurt and the spirit that he summoned to Barbados to try to put Batman in his place, and for right now, the asthma is asleep in the mind, baking in the sun of the desert of the mind.
It's so crazy. And then he says, as he steps out of the storm and into daylight, the sun bears down upon his skin, burning the asthma from him. Is that it? Like, that's it. He just needed to go out in the sun. I know he likes to work at night. You know, it's a thing. He just had to step. But Randy in this, it is funny because he doesn't quite want to make it easy on people. I really do think he wants people to work for his love. But the idea where he throws Superman in, that like felt the most fan service you'll ever get from him.
I agree.
But it felt, didn't it feel off?
I don't think you know about a friend of mine. He's not exactly human, and he tries more than anybody to be human. That's what I should be, too. We strive to be as good as Superman, the Man of Steel.
Yeah, I wanted him to be like, who the hell cares about him?
We're talking about you, motherfucker.
I really think that it's like the idea that Rambi's editors are like, listen, you got to do something about it. All right, I'll throw Superman here and say some bullshit. So while that, and we'll just go with the Batman stuff at first, because pretty much he's of the mind, decides he does not want to be that future. He's going to go into the sunlight and shed off the asthma, tell Barbados to get back, dude, and go. And while that's going on, we just suddenly, and I said there's no real progression to it, Flamingo is fighting Talia. And again, this feels like nothing. It feels like a lot of bullshit to just fill pages until Batman walks up with sexy legs.
Well, even the idea of walks up, because the way we get out of the conflict of the mind, it seems like he walks up to the black obelisk from 2001, A Space Odyssey, and escapes the mind and is now all tattered, loincloth up to go fight the Flamingo half naked.
Now, at one point, he's like, damn you, it was Gotham all along. He ends up seeing some Lady Liberty statue. You end up where, yeah, he just walks up and while
Lady
you're
Justice.
Having that Lady Justice, you end up because, of course, Batman, you end up where you get Flamingo talking it up. Flamingo's coming up big lately.
That's all I kept thinking about. It's all coming up Milhouse from Flamingo with him
How
being in the
be?
Catwoman Revenge Squad over in the Catwoman book, him fighting with Dr. Hurt against the League of Assassins and Batman here. I'm like, who are you to jump into this out of nowhere, Flamingo?
It's like Flamingo. It's like, oh, he was at home, you know, just eating people and faces and stuff. And all of a sudden, his agent goes, yeah, and his agent's like, dude, you're hot. Let's get going. He's like, whatever. He'll take anything. So yeah, he's there and he's like, what? Nothing that is being said, though, really even means much. It just ends up, well, the good doctors took care of the Batman. That's going to be done. And when do you see him in the space, this and that? And Batman just comes out of the shadows. He just walks up. And then you have that classic where it kind of is ruined because we know what's happening anyway. But she's like, oh, it took you a while.
Do we know what's happening anyway?
The idea of it took you a while. And you're like, you talking to me, Mr. Flamingos? No, I'm talking to him. Huh? And then he gets hit. I'm like, come on now. And then, yeah. And then you just, it's nonsense. But while that's going on, then we go back to Gotham and this whole idea that people have forgotten Batman. I said to you that I thought this was going to happen in Chip Zdarsky. I still think it's going to happen in Chip Zdarsky's Batman. But again, writers want to really dig into that idea of almost showing you like he at the end, Batman will come back and make everything all right. But really, this is what I said last week or the week before. The idea that you show the crime stats are down. Everybody's fine. But then you see
homelessness
is down. Too far, Eric. They took it too far. But you have this talk show, you have this like news kind of, you know, meet the press type of deal, and it just even that like should be just straightforward, but it's not. It's so odd, the idea that you have, you know, Renee Montoya, and she's talking about how the city has forgotten Batman, all these, and they're having this whole deal, and you have Nakano there. Nakano has no, like, that guy should not be allowed anywhere on TV. But you also have Erhad, you're talking about the organs, right?
It feels weird as well, though, because the idea of this little, like, you know, talk show thing talking about the Orgums coming in, cleaning up the city of Mayor Nakano, it also feels like you should have Commissioner Renee Montoya there, but she's off doing question
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, she's doing question
shadows.
Stuff. Yeah. So they're talking, and it's a weird idea, and I know me and you kind of laughed about this slightly before. I tried to get some things out of you again, but the idea where they are being affected by the Thalamus engine, but really, can anybody tell me what that really does anyway? It seems to make you laugh at bullshit, because these people, I can understand, like, you should have cheering, maybe, but this guy, the, you know, the talk show host, he says, oh my God, statistics don't lie. Crime is down, homelessness is down, new business rolling in, property values up, trending upward for the first time in a decade. And everybody's laughing like it's the funniest thing they've ever heard. And then later, I thought, well, maybe we're kind of interspersing that, and that's different things. But then you even end up where
the humorous engine.
Yeah. And then there's talk of like, but you see no reason we could use this as a model for the rest of the city. Get all the trains running on time. Ah, they're losing it, these people. But really all this is to push that deal of, hey, look, but what's the, at like the end game? Usually this would be cool and maybe we'll have it, but the Orgums would want to get credit for this. Like, hey, we're better than Batman, but they don't remember Batman. People say it kind of is a weird thing of what they think was before.
Well, the thing like is, we don't need to be better than Batman right now, because essentially we erase them. We just need people to love us and keep us here in power.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is what do they think was the before, when they're like, oh my god, there was
just
a miraculous
Gotham being
change.
Shitty Gotham.
But then when you say that, that's why people should be like, down with Nakano, because that shitty Gotham is his Gotham. It's just a weird play without knowing
we
what
were
you came
all about
from.
Down with Nakano, but his ass brought in the Orgums and helped them out. So, you know, we love that Nakano. Real at Nakano.
So you get all this deal. And again, though, without the Thalamus engine and what it really does, because we even saw some people even protesting at one point slightly, but now everything's fine. Everybody's like, I mean, this is the best. If you are a comedian, like the Joker wouldn't have a bad day. He should get his ass out there. Go on the road here in Gotham because they'll laugh at anything. So you have this all going on, but then you get one guy, and this is where you're going to do the idea of, oh, they took it too far, but they're on Front Street, which I laugh. But this guy, now you have just Joe Public here, you know, Johnny Gotham. He gets up and just have some guy get up and like, yeah, I just want to know why you're knocking heads down at the, you know, down at the docks. I don't know. Like, my brother, he was working and he said that he was having some problems. You guys took him away. Something like that. This guy gets up and is like, what do you have to say about the allegations that the Orgums have forcibly excised people they consider undesirable from the fabric of Gotham society? Like, this is just a random guy getting up and then continues like, or that homelessness is down only because vagrancy has been used as an excuse to exasperate droves in small town. But what are you talking about? Why can't this one guy just talk nonsense in this book? I mean, the Thalamus engine, I think, is actually the pretentious as shit engine. Everybody's walking around talking like this. They're miserable.
Well, that's the thing. This guy is at this place with an agenda. Obviously, he does his homework. He's a learned fella. He's the guy that you want on your side because he's going to ask the right questions.
Well, he's going to ask the wrong. He gets taken away. They don't even pretend. It's not even like you have, like, in my mind, it would be Erhard say, Oh, you have some very good ideas. How about you? I'm going to have my guys meet me backstage and we can talk about this. And like, these dubbies won't know anything worth it. And then go and, you know, kill them or whatever you're going to do with them. They end up arresting them. It's just odd. And then I really want him to yell, don't tase me, bro, as he was being pulled out. But even then, you're talking, while that's going on, you also have, you know, a narration of what Rene Montoya's thinking, what all the things are like, man, that guy's really telling
and
the truth.
I really thought, though, that the idea that the Rene Montoya question section, like in the last issue, was the best part of the book in my mind. But it's still a problem because all she's trying to do is get to the bottom of who killed Detective Fielding when us as reader have known for months and months and months. She's finally now just tying into the Orgums and going to Jim Gordon like, I need somebody to help me out with this because me being a mask like I am, I can't do this on my own. And it still feels like a weird situation where I want this to be the best part because of the Batman stuff. It's just ridiculous of the mind nonsense. It doesn't need to make any sense anywhere along the lines of this book. Batman's fine now, but it's just this part of the book, like half the book where it's like them finally trying to catch up to where we have been for months. And I'm like, I don't really need this.
And I'll give you even a step further. That's a huge problem because, yeah, we know what happened. We know that Batman, why these people are going. But what also kind of for me, especially the idea of the Thalamus engine, not knowing exactly what it does. Like, you almost get the idea that Batman coming back to Gotham can just flip a switch and turn it off. Like, I don't know how it works, how it affects, how it does.
You punch it real hard. You yell at it a bit.
If you smack it once,
try
you
everything.
Know, it starts doing the dishes, and then it shuts down, Eric, right? That's what you do. You end up where, I don't know. Like,
is that your wife?
No, she doesn't do the dishes.
No, but she shut down.
No, that's more of her slapping me. and then I don't actually either. So. Like, all of this going down, like you said, the case that Renee's on, we already know, but it is kind of pushing towards maybe...
It's like the first issue of the Intermezzo, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and who knows what mezzo we're in now. You end up where maybe...
The outer mezzo.
When you get to this part, I can see the idea of, well, how are they going to break through if everybody's on the take, the Thalamus engine, like... I get that, but even so, like, she goes to, like, why isn't Gordon being affected by it? He's in debt. Like, there's so many weird things. The Thalamus engine, I have no idea. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me what the Orgum place is. Nobody can even tell me that. But then you go, and I guess that they left their phones backstage. That might be a thing. I don't know.
They cloned the phones.
But there's all these phones there. And then she just walks up. Nobody's looking at them. She just goes, plugs into the one, goes. I like later. Where she's just walking around town with Gordon and the police, the SWAT team's like, we have the, you know, we have visual on the, I'm like, you just see somebody with their own phone. How do you know that they have the hacked stuff? It's so ridiculous. But yeah, she's doing this. And at one point she even says, she's like, oh, that's a nice, and it's a setup. It's a setup for this guy then to get up and cause some problems. Because she says, and I told you before, no one's asking why the canals that were thrumming with skateboard sounds and boomboxes lie empty now. I'm like, skateboarders and boomboxes? What is this, 1998? I end up laughing at you. I'm like, oh, nobody's asked why the sale of Jenko jeans has gone down and nobody's drinking Faygo. Like, really? Like, Eric Shea and Gotham here is like, I should be in line for something, but I don't know what. And then somebody's like, get out of town, clown. And you're like, oh, shit. It broke the spell, the Thalamus engine. Now you remember that you like Aerosmith.
I was a clown.
Aerosmith. Yeah. So, like, the idea, I love the idea that Ram V thinks that Gotham, like, they're missing the sound of skateboarders and boomboxes. Oh, it made me giggle. But even later, like, he wants to say at one point, like, oh, look, it's nicely painted subways with no graffiti, but takes the most pretentious way to say it. It's so ridiculous. I can't take it. It's kind of funny talking to you about it, though. But like you said, the big problem is we kind of know what's happening.
Yeah.
And more than what everybody else is doing.
All of it, too. The idea of trying to get the phone, the cloned Oregon phone to Commissioner Gordon, or former Commissioner Gordon, to try to get it out there because, you know, he's a man who can get things done. He knows people and he's not a person behind a mask like Renee Montoya is right now, even though she is the commissioner as well. So pretty much
that made me giggle. Right?
It's funny to me because the thing is, like, here you go, Gordon. Give it to somebody. You can make the knowledge there. Like, okay, I'll give it to Renee Montoya.
He's going to give it back to her. That's all I kept thinking. That's what's going to happen. He's going to be like, oh, shit.
But
oh,
it doesn't,
you know, who's
ultimately
good,
matter, though, because, yes, this is our smoking gun of, like, you know, what's going on in the world, or at least Gotham. But Batman's back now to go and try to save the day. So he's back in Gotham, like, you know, full suited up and everything, not just a tattered loincloth Batman. So it's like, what have we really been doing here? Like, I'm telling you, you cloned a phone, and that is the most you did, Renee Montoya, to this whole thing. You're still trying to figure out, like, oh, my God, on the Orgum's phone, they were talking to Detective Nash, and, like, you know, and before he died, so what's the connection there? I'm like, you are not the world's greatest detective, but thankfully Batman's back on the case, and we can get shit done.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's not good at figuring out. She can only answer or ask
questions. She can ask questions, yeah.
I love, though, that she's the commissioner. And like you said, she goes to Gordon because, like, she doesn't, yeah, obviously she wants to keep that identity deal, but if Gordon knows anybody, you would think that maybe Renee would, and I do think that he's going to go and give it to Renee, and she's going to say, oh, shit.
Gotcha.
Actually, it'd be kind of like, I was just testing to see if he thought I was good. But yeah, who's he going to give it to? Bullock? I mean, who else does he hang with? Barbara? I mean, if anything, they kind of know. And where are they? I mean, where are most of the Bat family anyway? Maybe the Thalamus engine's got them too, Eric. I don't know, but it's silly.
They don't need the shit.
Once she said, here is the evidence of the phone, please, then I realized none of that matters. I'm like, oh, God, it doesn't matter. And then they're going to get killed, but then the frequency's taken down by the bats. And I'm like, all right, now that seems almost like a thing in the Batman and Robin deal, or the bats trying to hump Batman's leg. I don't know, Eric, but it just ends with Batman back in town, and it almost feels like that moment. And with that moment, it almost feels like, you know, we could have skipped months and months of this book.
And we
just got to that. Yeah, that's my biggest problem. And when we get done, I saw some reviews for this, and there are people who each time an issue comes, they like Ram V, and people can like what they want and like the thing, and maybe they can glean something more than us. But they just keep trying to push this idea that this is an all-time story, that this is going to be looked at down the road to be the greatest thing. I don't know if they're looking at the reviews now, because when you have people who want to give everything a 10 and they're giving this fives and things like that, it's just not hitting. And I think it goes back to what I said at the beginning, that Ram V is just writing for himself. And the problem is, I think a lot of the times when you're doing that, you're the only one who knows what you're doing, because you don't care to let people in. And there's a lot of disconnect, a lot of things. And he said also that he likes to throw shit that really doesn't matter. It just seems like he's doing more of that, and it's just odd. But we have a backup.
He's got a quota
too.
He needs to fill, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, I think that he's at a point where he's like dug himself in and like, this is what I do, and I'm not going to change no matter what, whether they yell at me about it, whether it doesn't sell, whatever. I mean, and he is on Detective Comics. It's a Batman book. It always is going to have a level of sales. You're never going to get out of the top 100 or 200 usually. I mean, if you do, then it's a real disaster. You still have to try. I just think that he's here. You know, it's like a self-masturbatory type of deal.
It's almost very odd. It's like, what, we have 5 issues left?
Yeah, something like maybe 6, maybe. I thought it ended at it ends at a weird number, too. So, yeah, 89, I thought it ended with. We'll have to look. But we still have an arc left, you know, a trade. So we'll keep going. But there's a backup. It's by Dan Waters with art by Jorge Fornes, Triona Farrell, and Steve Wands. And
is Dan Waters writing for himself as well?
No, I think Dan Waters is like, it's the idea when you're there in your little space here and Ram V's doing what he's doing. He thinks he's got to join in. Like, he's like, oh, man, I think I'm part of this group. So let me fuck around as well, because you like this first two. I want to ask, is this the end of this? Because at the end, it doesn't end. It just says
this is the end of it. It has to be in my mind. What we've had for our backups is a support group that we're all getting together because they're all people that Dr. Hurt has hurt in the past. And they're all going to get together and kill this motherfucker once and for all so he can't hurt anybody again. So they go to a masquerade ball being thrown at the Dr. Hurt castle, to where the point is, you know, everybody was taken down except for two. The one woman, Selma, turns out to be manipulated by Dr. Hurt, or a clone, doesn't matter. It's somebody that Dr. Hurt has turned into pretty much a version of him so he can continue on forever. And she doesn't like being the clone, so she's going to go and kill Dr. Hurt so she can take over.
She wants to be the Apex Dr. Hurt.
Exactly. She wants to be the Alpha Dr. Hurt.
And here's the thing. I'll stop you real quick because you're explaining it very well. Uh-huh. Why am I enjoying the idea of the story as you tell me it? And how does it get to this?
That's the thing, too, because along the lines, you get things like the castle that we're in is actually a sentient pocket dimension that Dr. Hurt has put together that will also, try to save Dr. Hurt and all these other things. Ultimately, it's just we're gonna kill all the versions of Dr. Hurt that we can. But it doesn't matter because the main character, James, of this story, who's like the last surviving member, like the person who's like, you know, not a Dr. Hurt and who has been hurt by Dr. Hurt. He's just been a part of an experiment this whole time, and it's all been of the mind. And the doctor who was performing the experiment of the mind was fucking Dr. Hurt, which drives the guy crazy at the end.
Yeah, I love when you have him come out. Now, in that, though, when you have, oh, didn't you get it? You know, we're all Dr. Hurt, including the Senny castle we're in. And then you have
sentient pocket dimension castle.
Okay, so what you're doing is that nonsense that we had in the Dark Multiverse. I'm waiting for Speed Buggy and baby Dr. Hurt that falls down the stairs and can't get up, or T-Rex Dr. Hurt. And so at the end, I love this idea where this guy, he comes out of the experiment deal and he gets so crazed by the idea. Well, the doctor said this. What? You mean this experiment that I'm doing and there's a doctor? I'm like, yeah. Like,
what's his name? Why, it was Dr. Hurt.
He's like, oh, I think it was Dr. Dre. Oh, thank God.
Oh, thank
luckily.
God.
But no, my boombox, it was taken
Ring
away.
Ring ding dong.
I can't do my beats on the boomboxes. Yeah, and then he flips out. And what I'll tell you, what I think that this backup, but also Remby, a combo of both, they're both trying to prove they're smart or clever at the expense of actual coherent storytelling.
Well, they're not actually doing anything.
You know
anything.
What I mean? Yeah. So what ends up happening is you twist and turn around, and that's where they think they're being clever. But it's nothing. This idea of sentient of the mind deal, but when you pull out of this book, I wish it was of the behind. Because all this nonsense, it's always of the mind. Why can't
butts.
We get out of this? I mean, the butt cheeks. Get it out of here. I'm telling you, the idea of everything, you can't go so heavy on of the mind, because that means nothing's really happening. And then it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to the main story at all. It's just Dr. Hurt being an asshole, and it's always just going to be Grant Morrison light. And I hated Grant Morrison's Dr. Hurt.
Yeah. And yeah, again, Dr. Hurt coming up big, at least in this book. And it, like, by the end of this, what? Like, if you're saying, oh, man, I thought it was clever and I thought it was neat. Like, hey, we're all Dr. Hurts here. What do you get? What ends up being
you want a Hurts donut?
I would. What would be the, you know, what do you get out of it? What are you getting more about Dr. Hurt? Does this teach you more? Has it shed
a new
light? It
lets me know that I don't want to read about Dr. Hurt anymore, because I've never enjoyed reading about Dr. Hurt because it's always bullshit.
Even at a baser level, Dr. Hurt's an asshole. That's what I get. And then in the front up, you had to have Flamingo because he was hanging with Dr. Hurt. Like, Dr. Hurt's just
ruined
everything.
Another Grant Morrison character just for the sake of showing up.
You know, that used to not talk so much, but now he's real he's chatty. He's a real chatty guy now, right? So with that, you know
what?
It's
good he got out of his shell, just like Cassie Kane.
That is true. You know what his favorite movie is, Aaron?
What's that?
Police Academy. I thought you were going to say Face Off, and then I was going to say Police Academy. Just Face Off. Oh, yes.
I want a punchline.
You didn't play along. You want a Hertz donut? What would you give this overall?
I would give this a 4.5 out of 10. I think the art's fine for what it's doing. It's just the story is not grabbed me in a long, long time in any kind of conceivable way. Again, to back up the first issue of the backup that we had of this story, I thought was like, okay, this could be
the
interesting.
The first two
idea.
You liked, right?
It was something. I don't know. I don't even know if I liked the second one, but
no,
I could
No, you did because I didn't. And I said, I can't believe it. You said you actually were digging it. You said
it was a different play, and I was liking it because I haven't been liking the main story, but neither gave me anything this issue because both meant nothing ultimately. And by the end, the only real takeaway is, hey, everybody, Batman's finally back. And maybe for the first time in this series of this writer, he'll do something.
No, right now he's going to go up because he's going to have to talk to Gordon. He's going to get tired and sleep on the couch. That's what he's going to do. You didn't love it when the sentient and it had the I am Dr. Hurt over the
so angry.
You can't try to be clever and then have something like that. That is so goofy. It just made me laugh. But yeah, I'm a 4. And the art is decent. Like I said, I kind of feel bad. And I there are points when you see that Batman or a Superman, I'm sorry, when you see Superman and he's dead, I thought, man, that looks really cool, but it did nothing. Then when we see Barbados, oh, man, that looks really doesn't do anything. And then even the mixture before it, like I'm used to it, I guess now when you go to the question stuff or the Talia stuff, I like the way it played back and forth. I thought it was really cool. Batman has sexy legs. Look at them calves. Jeez. And kind of thought that was pretty cool.
You're a dick!
Yeah, even Flamingo looks pretty cool. I'm like, the guy, he doesn't care about what anybody says. He's going to dress up like a pink Sergeant Pepper. No matter where he goes, if he's in the desert, he does what I hate, licks a knife.
Isn't that like a bullfighting outfit that he's in?
Yeah, Sergeant Pepper, Eric. And then, do you like when Batman says, the hot pink ombre wasn't good company?
Maybe kind of mariachi about it? I don't know.
It is. I just like, well, when he's not on his hot pink, kind of a Prince-esque motorcycle, but it's in pink, it's not as cool. Then he's Sergeant Pepper. When he gets on that, then I'll go at the other. I just like saying Sergeant Pepper. That Batman actually just doesn't say, oh man, you weren't having fun with Flamingo. He calls him the hot pink ombre. It's so ridiculous.
I'm glad you brought that because I forgot about that line. I threw me off like that. The hot pink ombre.
And when I first read it, because there was a distance, somehow I'm thinking that Talia maybe was, I'm like, when would Batman ever say that? Maybe we're
when
still.
When would Talia ever say that?
I guess you're right. Is this going to be like Inception, where because of that we've cracked the code? It's of the mind, of the mind, of the mind, of the dreamscape, of the dimensions. Oh yeah, yeah. At least that one thing we can say though, because it would it any sort of deal at the end? Would it surprise you at the end if all of a sudden Batman wakes up? He's in the Batcave and goes, oh, thank God, that was my birthday present that I said, and rips off a, and this was all a dream. It was all of the mind, this
mercy
whole run.
All the time. Or the white mercy that was different before for some reason. Well, remember we had that story before? And I'm like, I forget what the, I think it was Nightmare Cell instead of a dreamscape.
It was. Remember, and then we had Planet Black Mercy, and then, well, we have it all. And then Tom King recently told us that Damien.
He can't be Black Mercy. There's no hope of
the
change.
Hell,
yeah.
That gets me angry so much. Like, Batman can, but, and, Yeah, also just to point out, we do get a convoluted, pretentious version of, like, you know, the pearls and stuff in this, too, because it has to go back to that. But that's that. I'm a 4, you're a 4.5. You are a very positive Peter with that
positive
one.
Positive Patty.
Yeah, we're going to go to the next book, which it's got, I think the Continuity Kid might be coming to town. I should have that song, but.
There are problems.
A little more enjoyable, though, right?
This issue is way more enjoyable, but it's like one of those surface level enjoyables where it's like, hey, I'm going to throw some stuff out there that people are going to be like, wow, I love this stuff just because of the characters that show up, and that's the only real reason. And the thing is, I can fall in that trap as well.
I can, too. I'm going to give a specific example, but you go, what are we talking about?
Green Arrow number 10, written by Joshua Williamson, with art by Sean Isaacs, Tom Daranek, Romeo Fajardo Jr., and Troy Pateri. And if you remember from the previous issue, Green Arrow has decided to work for Amanda Waller so he could help find, you know, Roy Harper, who was sent on a mission by her as well to try to get the files that were supposedly deleted from the sanctuary from Heroes in Crisis. And to do this, Green Arrow is going to grab his son, Connor Hawk, and they're going to snowmobile up to some Arctic JLA base that's been, like, out of commission where apparently the files are being stored. And in this whole thing, the group that Roy has put together are pretty much all the Arrow characters that you haven't really seen much of anymore, like Emiko Queen, Arrowette, and Red Canary. I'm telling you, the thing is, I don't like Red Canary because she shouldn't be around for what little, like, experience she has, but I like seeing all of these girls together in the red matching costumes like this. I'm like, they could be something cool going forward at some point.
They could, but it's going to end up kind of being, this isn't as bad as, say, when we get to the Flash later, but the idea of, like, the explanations for things are just, well, I don't know, but here I am, like Arrowette. Kind of not more, but here I am. It's kind of cool. But the thing, and I went last issue talking about where I had hoped that if we're going to bring up Heroes in Crisis, hopefully this is going to be like a meta thing that they're going to show how bad it was. And actually, the file she wants is the footage of Wally killing Roy and the rest. Use that. I don't know now the way that it's played, because she seems to be just going after the confessional files that were kind of already released at points, and it just doesn't work. And then what I really think at the end of this, when are Batman, and I blame Batman for this, the idea that Batman has promised everybody that these files were scrubbed, there's no files, and this is a lit, why is it, this shouldn't be a Justice League base, maybe make this a Legion of Doom base, that somehow Lex got a hold of these, but the idea that Batman has lied to everyone and then has set up what seems to be a fortress guarded by the exact same AI that you were trying to use to heal people.
That can make hard like constructs like the Danger Room that you got all your like aggression out of during Sanctuary. Why is this a thing that even fights people that are allowed access, like Justice League members?
And then actually saying,
it's gained sentience, Jim.
It's using tools. The idea that you are really showing, and now I'm thinking, because I was giving Joshua Williamson some credit of like, oh man, you're being smart and clever here. Now when he does this, I think he doesn't want you to ask questions. Maybe it'll turn out different. But the idea that after that debacle of a murderous sanctuary, Batman decided, I swear Batman's like, you know what? This AI really did like really screw up and cause deaths. I think it would be really good guards for my new sanctuary that I'm going to hide shit in that was from this one that we shouldn't have around. And I promised everybody that I scrubbed. It's nonsense. And when they go into this, the idea, like you said, that when Oliver goes in and he actually gets access by entering, that he's going to be attacked. As well. Yeah, and Roy. And even then, it should be a point where it can differentiate. You might want to play that it's gone rogue, but then it still makes Batman look bad. Because again, I keep saying it's Batman because it seems like it would be Batman. But even the idea that you have this, oh, I wonder why the Justice League weren't notified of a break-in. Oh, the characters are still there. You can't play this idea of there's no Justice League.
And even if there was a Justice League, the people who have entered are former Justice League members who have access, so you shouldn't be notified of a break-in.
No, and if and if you wanted to have it easier, like Amanda Waller is at the Hall of Now Order, like, if there is a signal going to there, she could try, like, she could make it. She's the one who sent Roy there. She's the one who sent Oliver then to get Roy. Like, she might actually even have some console there in the Justice headquarters to hit and turn it up. But no, you're just doing this. It's really weird. But the big
talk about weird, the biggest play I have the problem with is the idea that we're doing all of this because Oliver has just found out during this arc that Roy Harper is still alive from Leanne when she was transported to the alien planet that he was on. And Roy has been alive since Infinite Frontier years now. And the idea that Oliver Queen had no idea all this time, this strikes me as wrong.
Yeah. And not only that, but here's where you get, and you said it, and I'll bring up my example, my man Sully, he always tells me every book he likes. He loved this. He hasn't been reading it though. So when you jump into this, it is just fan service. And some of it is really cool. You get these characters. You get Mia, who you've been waiting for.
Oh, and Speedy shows up. That's so great. That's the idea. But why?
Why? And that's what I'm saying. You said it. It's surface level. And you even get, and this is where I told you during our spotlight on the Patreon, you get yet another Wally hugging Barry moment. We've had these over and over and over. You had it.
From the Rebirth Universe special. Yeah.
I hate to say it, I'm desensitized to it by now. This one did like all the rest of my
Hugs, not drugs, Jim.
Yeah, and then they, well, tell Roy that, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, he did.
It's funny. Like, you know, you have this, and then you have a background of Roy and Oliver. Like, it's a lot of fan service stuff, which is fun, and it's good, and I like that. But in a series where the only really good moments and the ones that you can really get, because that first six issues of how Merlin got time tech from it, it made no damn sense. But when you ended up having Connor and Oliver come together, when you end up having, you know, Leanne, and it's nice. It's really nice.
You get all the Arrow family together, and even ones that haven't been around at all since the New 52, and new characters who have, like, you know, just showed up. I'm just saying, the idea of Mia Dearden showing up as Speedy once again, because apparently Roy contacted her for a group, because apparently Roy knew about Speedy, and Oliver hasn't thought one damn lick about her for whatever reason. But just even Arrowette showing back up in costume after the Young Justice stuff that we had that Bendis was doing, it didn't make a lot of sense for Arrow. I'm sorry, what's even that? It was the Dark Crisis Young Justice tie-in that we had that she showed back up. And where in that one, we had the idea, like, you know, all the stuff that we had in Young Justice didn't seem like it mattered, and all of a sudden she was just kind of back in that. It never really fit, because we always got to a point, because I can't remember who the writer was on that, and I feel bad.
Megan
Williams,
Fitzmartin.
Oh, it was Megan Fitzmartin. That's what it was. But Megan Fitzmartin just, like, you know, realize that a lot of stuff in Young Justice had been taken care of, and all she did was reiterate the idea that she's going to take care of it, because I guess she didn't read the series.
And then
didn't
seem to
take
care of most of it. No. Like, it was weird. Yeah, because then,
like,
it went in other
books. Is willing to do Young Justice stuff again, even though she stopped a long time ago. And so we left the series with that. But also, she's back here, never really a part of the Arrow family. And I want to think that Joshua Williamson is doing the idea, because back in the Young Justice cartoon show, which most people loved, as far as I know, I loved it. But they used the character of Artemis as a replacement for Arrowette. And it never really seemed right, because in this continuity, you don't have Artemis Croc being the, like, Artemis from that show. Because she was just a replacement for Arrowette. So, like, let's get that whole idea of bringing Arrowette in to be that person for Oliver Queen, like
Artemis
was. Well,
it's kind of cool, because she even says at the one point, I'm not part of the family, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. So that's good. But what I get, and there's two moments in this that kind of strike me as, okay, you're just surface leveling here. And they're weird things. It's when Roy, or when Oliver's talking about Roy, when he was told by Leanne. Leanne says, you know, he says, Roy's dead. No, he was there with Dinah. This is when he's recapping. And again, a lot of this has some recap of stuff we've already read as well. But then Oliver goes, damn it, you multiverse shenanigans. Oh, my God. And then all she says is, no, listen to me. It was my dad. It was him. Okay. And then they move on. It happens later when Roy is like, oh, no, you're just a hard, like, construct of this AI from the sanctuary. And remember, he was in the sanctuary, so it would have had a lot of info. How Oliver came. You're my son. Oh, it must be you. It wouldn't play that. Like, it wouldn't do, like, the AI
that's
wouldn't
the thing,
do
you
that.
Realize the AI, like, Danger Room shit that we had there, all vindictive. All terribly vindictive assholes.
So, like, oh, you drug addict jerk. And then he's like, boy, you are a...
Because that's the thing, is that was the compassion that Wonder Woman added to it. The idea, like, in order for you to get over your problems, you have to face the worst things you could possibly imagine. Nothing nice.
No, so what you're saying is the compassion of, like, let's send Batman back in time so he could see his parents die again. That'd be pretty cool. That's the compassion she used for that. The three of them, Batman, Superman, they should still be in jail for the shit that they pulled with that sanctuary. I'm telling you, there should be complete. And that's all Amanda Waller needs to do, is throw that on the board there and say, you explain how you did all this nonsense, which again might be what she's doing. But yeah, at the end, when all that, yeah, I know it's not you. You're AI. You're a construct. Ah, oh, you're my son. Oh, hey, Dad.
Well, even the idea before Oliver does enter the Justice League bunker where everything is being kept like this, Connor Hawke and him are attacked by, you know, Emiko Queen, the Red Arrow. We have Red Canary, and we have, I can't think of the other one right now, like, because there's so many goddamn Arrow characters.
Oh, you have Red Arrow, Arrowette, Red Canary, and then Mia Speed.
Arrowette. Yeah. I'm thinking about Speedy jumping in later on, but the whole idea, the first three, they show up, beat the crap out of Connor and Oliver Queen, tase Arrow them to the point where, all right, let me help you up. Well, we were sent here with Roy, and he said, don't let anybody enter. But now you're here. I guess you can enter. I'm like, why was the scene even here? Why did they have to do any of this? Why not just talk? Because you have to have that big scene where these three together. Oh, my God, are they mind controlled? Oh, no, it's just a big misunderstanding until, hey, go on in.
And I think that they wanted to play, Joshua Williamson wanted to play the idea of, like, when Roy attacks late, because there are, there's nothing outside. If you see, like, maybe what you should have is Oliver, I don't know how you detain him, or he's like something and they see Connor and don't think it's really Connor because they all, like, not all of them have seen him for a while. He's been missing or whatever. But when they see Oliver, like, why are they attack? They attack him to then say, oh, well, Roy said attack. It's almost like they really wanted to hurt him first and then blame Roy for saying it didn't make sense. Like, the idea of I'm there watching my front door and my wife says, don't let any strangers in. And you show up and I punch you in the face and I haven't seen you in 3 years. You're kind of a stranger. Hey, Eric. And then I lay up and like hug you. I don't get it.
It's even weirder because Arrow is talking about the idea that we did this because Amanda Waller, she grabbed us, put brain bombs in us. We have to do this. And like, why would she want us? But then later on, Oliver explained, look, these aren't brain bombs. The thing is, she just put these in people like Arrowette and Red Canary. So I'm like, are they afraid that they are a part of the Arrow family? Are these actual brain bombs and they're going to kill these characters now because they didn't play ball?
And then what I thought was that, and they show when Roy says it, you do see like that little glow that they're showing you that, and that's when Oliver says.
But Roy makes sense.
I thought that maybe it would have been like revealed where you'd like cut, like somehow Amanda Waller's watching this as this is going on, and they cut back, and there's Peacemaker like, you put bombs in those girls? Nah, I just lied. Like something like that, she just said it.
Wouldn't she?
And I don't know. And even then, you could have just played it off of we're here because Roy asked, and Roy said he's in danger. Roy having one, yes, that I get. But a red can, like, there's no real reason for them. They should just be there to help.
And
they're
a brain bomb at this point because they have these things inside them that teleport them through space and time if they get close for whatever reason. But I'm telling you, characters like Arrowette and Red Canary, they should definitely have brain bombs in them.
Yeah, just it's very odd. But then he goes in and he's like, I'm going to break in. But then then they even say like, oh, he went in and then the door slammed. So we've been waiting, Roy. So then Oliver goes up and then realizes, oh, my God, this is a Justice League facility. I can just do a scan and get in.
Yep, just like Roy.
Yeah,
need to break in.
It's weird, but that's the thing. Roy, they say, broke in to make it different, which is odd.
Because it is odd, because the idea in my mind that we're playing this, because when Oliver Queen, when all of that shit happened where he supposedly died before Dark Crisis, he wasn't a member of the Justice League. He died supposedly and was teleported away. Because even when he went to Dark Crisis, Black Canary was grabbed. He wasn't.
Yeah, they didn't have a statue for him there.
No. So that's the thing is, if we're doing like members like Green Arrow here, who has access to it because he was a former member, so was Roy Harper.
Yeah, so was Roy. And again, these are the little things. And I'll tell you, I think that, and as we go forward, the next section especially, I think we're seeing a lot of, you know, people just doing what they want, not knowing a lot of the past. And the editors, I don't think they even know. And Joshua Williamson fudges a lot.
Even in the background we have of Roy throughout the years of him doing stuff, you see him as Red Arrow with Hawker when he was a member of the Justice League.
Yeah, there you go. But I don't know. It's so crazy. But yeah, he goes in and then he does find Roy. He realizes, oh my God, this is a Justice League facility. Oh my God, Sanctuary, you get a computer. I mean, if Batman really wants to just like, hey guys, I'm going to really fuck with people. And I end up having a mask. It's even the crack mask. That's there. Like, if you would assume that's it.
The Sanctuary
maybe,
mask.
Maybe this is all, maybe the whole thing of me saying it's bullshit because of the files being released. Oh, maybe this is just a full out 100% setup. Maybe it's a dupe by Amanda Waller to make Roy question, because he does seem like, why the fuck is this here? Why is this?
Or maybe the idea that when the Sanctuary is getting shut down, nobody knew that the Sanctuary itself had become sentient and it tried to save itself and went to, and sent itself to another Justice League facility where nobody goes to.
But the other thing is, I am going to tell you, they kept saying by the end of that the Sanctuary was still going. It never really got officially shut down. At the end of that story, when we were like, oh, bullshit, whatever, they were like, oh, yeah, well, it's going to continue on. So who knows? They're probably
even the idea
now.
That you and I argued in the previous episode that we talked about the previous issue of this, what the idea of the Sanctuary is. Yes, Roy Harper died there, but with all the retconning and time manipulation that we had in the Flash book, everybody else was survived and were sent to the time point before they could get killed.
Yeah, and so, but does that take away? It's weird, like the idea of footage and all that stuff. And really, again,
well,
like
they were never
I said,
killed, so it should.
Like I said, or but then they remember it. It's very odd because Roy shouldn't be even that, and then they wouldn't remember. There's timey-wimey shit involved.
But Roy did die in that.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's very odd.
And came back as a Black Lantern.
Yeah. And then whoever that Green Lantern, R.I.P., Eric, we never found out. But so then, get this. you end up having, oh no, you're not the real Oliver. Yes, I am. You're my son. Let's hug. We have it again.
Daddy.
It's every time. Oh, let's hug it. I'm like, all right, stop it. Stop. Get a room, guys.
Which
let's
feels
go.
So weird that this is the first interaction between Roy Harper and Oliver Queen ever since freaking the Sanctuary happened, because we had the whole Infinite Frontier thing before the dawn of DC. We've had two eras of DC Comics since this reunion. But it feels so weird. Like, why would that possibly be a thing? We had Roy fucking around in Teen Titans Academy for how long?
Yeah, you had that. I do know. And yes, word should have gotten him. I know at one point, remember, he was going to call Dick Grayson and then he was going to call Oliver and he hung up the phone. But that was when he was still a Black Lantern. So I don't know what the fuck's going on. But yeah, it does feel like that far on that Oliver should have at least heard or something. But he heard from Leanne and he thought it was multiverse nonsense. So all of this together, it's a really nice bunch of fan service in here.
Definitely.
For people who want the Green Arrow family, who like the Green Arrow family. If you can get past, not even just get past the idea of like nothing really being explained, but get past the idea that this is a series now that's gone on this far without really doing that much. We're on issue 10 of this.
It was the hunt for Oliver Queen and now the hunt for Roy Harper. That's what we did.
And the hunt for Oliver Queen, I hope that things got wacky and they had to change, because that didn't make any sense whatsoever. But when
Parallax,
we got that, you know what it is, you tell me if I'm not wrong here, right, or if I'm right or wrong. When we get these issues like this, when we got out of that first six issues, we said, you know what, we got where we needed to go. We like that we got characters back. I guess you gotta have to just not really look into the we keep saying that issue again. I like what we got. We got some characters, but we have to look past it.
We had to fudge everything that happened to Oliver Queen in the Dark Crisis to make the series actually work from the get-go.
And so it's if I can't say that I hate this, because I'm reading it, I do get sometimes, I'm telling you, I don't know why this is where I laugh. I'm like, oh, he did it. He's going to make the chili. Like, he's throwing every bit of fan service at you, and it feels okay. Now, maybe the problem is you need more story to explain what you've already done, because this could be just like the Nightwing book by Tom Taylor. Hey, we're going to put, because if everything worked out and we just had a book where all of these characters, Arrowette, Red Arrow, Red Canary, Mia, they go around doing stuff. And you got Connor. It could be the best book we ever read. I mean, that, if we could get to that point, but we're not there yet in an explanation based, and we're in the middle of a story that is kind of embracing that nonsense to, you know, kind of confuse us of where we're going. If this,
I just imagine next issue we're going to bring Eddie Fires back just to bring everything full circle.
Why not? He'll be there. Like, well, we'll have the dead. Like, this will be.
He'll be the den mother of this group. This
will be the deal, because he's at the end. The big thing is that now there's Construct Justice League that's going to come.
Green Arrow
and
versus
fight.
The Justice League.
And we're going to show that, oh, Oliver and Roy are a great team and they can think on their feet and they don't need pads. You'll play the fan service.
Yeah,
bit of it. And I think that's all. We're going to get a lot more fan service. I don't mind the fan service.
Me either.
But the idea that we're like on top of a pile of sand as a foundation either gets fully away from it. Yeah, but when we get done this, everybody's here, forget about all the nonsense, and then just have a fun book would be cool.
Please explain Mia Dearden to me in this, what she's been up to, why, like how Roy found her, why Roy remembered her, all the stupid bullshit that needs to be explained that we're never going to get because it's too goddamn hard ever since the New 52.
Yeah. Well, what happens in this, I said, it happens a lot more in The Flash, but it's like, oh man, how are you here? That's what I was going to ask you. Like, that's what we get as explanations.
Don't do that to me.
That's what we keep getting from every book, it seems like.
I sent him to the Phantom Zone. You can do that? Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. And they the question always ends, it remains unanswered. It's like, oh my God, that's crazy. We could do that? Hell if I know. And then they move on. Even a simple thing of, hey, if I don't come in an hour, what does that mean? He doesn't know. It's always that. It happens. Like I said, Flash is driving me nuts.
In this book, when Oliver's like, if I'm not back in an hour, you know what to do. And like, what does that mean? I don't think he knows. Okay.
Nobody knows anything. They're just doing things in that. Also, at this point, I'm just asking you, why don't you take the whole team in? There's no reason not to. You're going into this facility. The doors open. Have everybody there. but they want to have a Roy Oliver moment, the personal deal. But what? There's no reason to not.
You can do that with an audience,
the entire team in. But man, there you go. So, yeah.
Well, honestly, I believe in Oliver's choice because sending Red Canary in there is a death sentence for her.
He's going to have to do so. I mean, there's the explanation for her. He's like, oh, my God. Arrowette, don't really know you, but Red Arrow, you're my, you know, you're my sister. Oh man, hey, Red Canary. Ooh, Dinah said you were okay. Okay, moving on. Like it's that Red Canary. They got to get past the. It shows you that she's done shit because it's like, oh, she said you're cool.
Well, even Arrowette, she hasn't done anything besides for that Dark Crisis tie-in in over 20 years.
She's an Olympian, Eric. How dare you? She was there getting gold medals for her country. So at least you have that, though. And then he's like, I heard she's a good sniper. All right. I think that's just to set up something next issue as well. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, very odd. But what would you give this?
Ultimately, with all my flaws, this, the fan service did get me. Like, it will get a lot of people. So I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10 on top of the idea that I love Sean Isaac's art in this, and I think the colors are great. So it's just one of those things. You're not going to get a lot of story, a lot of explanation, but the little bullshit you do get there can be enough, ultimately, especially in a week this bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, this week is bad. I'm giving it a 7. I mean, I bitch and moan about it, but I bitch and moan only because of the idea. We need to explain some things eventually, but just the idea, we're joking about stuff during this, right, Eric? Right? You got me?
Right.
Explain to me anything about Roy being a Black Lantern.
I still think that was a cool idea. It just never went anywhere in Infinite Frontier.
And then what happened with it? It was forgotten.
It went away.
Who wrote that? Joshua Williamson.
Joshua Williamson. Now,
that's what he does. So that's what I get, but by the end of it, you just end up, it's like a footnote of, hey, what happened to that? How did that come in? And when he does these things, Arrowette, that's cool. Me and you both like Arrowette. You know, yeah. You like Mia a lot. I like,
sure do.
You know, I like Emiko a lot. Emiko's of the characters here. Emiko is my favorite.
And you still got the HIV, Speedy?
Well, that's what I kept thinking as well when they were like, oh, are they going to show her with the, like, I thought you were going to get a big background.
I'm just hoping with the multiverse rebooting that the HIV was sent away.
It was. Actually, she stepped out into the desert. And it went away.
Everything.
That's what you do. It does fix everything. But if by the end where I say a year from now, oh, man, that was an awesome issue with Mia and Red Canary, who we still don't have a last name for. People were waiting for that. And Arrowette. But then I say, oh, well, how did she really come in? It won't matter then. It's just like when I say the idea, well, how was Roy a Black? It's just funny to say. It doesn't matter. So, but that's what he does. He ends up doing all these things that never end up being explained.
Doesn't matter.
And then they fade away. But 7 out of 10, but that's it for the first section of books. It's okay, right?
Yeah.
Deal 7, that's like, this week for me, a 7, it's like a 20. But we're going to go off to the next section. Not saying that those books aren't good, Eric, but we're going to have a section with Flash and Power Girl. It's going to be a dandy, but we'll be back with that in just a moment.
Just running in my mind.
yes, Eric, here we are.
God damn, that song
like
is a banger.
You like the wordplay that it's so much sigh? Like it could be like sighing.
Oh,
but
I got
also
it.
I was hoping I got it. I'm like, oh my God, I cracked the code. Oh my goodness gracious. But yeah, there we are. We have another song. I enjoy doing those and just I sit there. I laugh the whole time. Oh, Eric, I hope he hears this one. Oh, my goodness. But here we are with The Flash. We're going to start with The Flash. Obviously, that's a lot of sighing I was doing as I was going through it, because while some people, and it's one of those things, too, because I do read the books a little ahead of you. But we don't read them right away. They come out the day we're doing other things. You actually read. It's like the idea that you have a gun pointed to your head. Like, you read them when you have to read them. You read them before we go. Because, again, you're a little better than me. But if I read them right, I'm going to have to reread them anyway. So I wait and get, you know, the thoughts going. But all week I heard people like, oh, this is the issue. This issue actually makes more sense. This issue really, you know,
we have
explains
a sort of design by the end of this issue, but the way we have to get there, oh boy.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, we're this many issues in, obviously, this is The Flash number 7. I'll give you the credits in a second, but you get like I thought it was going to be explained a lot more than the idea. And you kind of like, oh, I get it. That's, yeah, because speedsters are using the speed force too much.
But it's like, I wanted to be some grand design, but ultimately it was just you yelling this from the get-go. It's going to be, there's too many speedsters. We got to kill them off.
And I told you that
for months and months.
And
I'm like,
joking.
What is that? I'm like, fuck.
And I said at the beginning, I'm like, I hope that this doesn't end up just there. And I said at the point, I think that Cy Spurrier's deal is he's been told he's got to lessen the speedsters because there's too many. I think that that's what it's going to be. Kind of half joking. That's what it is, it seems. And
we're putting together the Arrow family in the Green Arrow book, but over here in The Flash, like, oh, we got to get rid of some of those. Too many Flash family members.
Yeah, or they'll just, and really, or they'll
and
fix what's going on. Can you imagine that they just say, oh, no, we flipped this switch. It's almost like the idea, oh, we didn't pay for the 3-terabyte deal? Oh, let's do that. Like, they have to upgrade it.
Well, it just takes me back to what we had before with the Lights Out and the Green Lantern series back in, like, the New 52 era. What the idea was that with all these people using the emotional spectrum, the well is running dry. And that when the well runs dry of the emotional spectrum, that's the end of the universe. All lights are out at that point. So that's why Kyle, being the White Lantern, had to gather together all the entities, go through the source wall and refill the reservoir, like the spectrum reservoir. So, like, that's all I get with this. So I was like, what are we going to do to refill the fucking speed force reservoir to make sure that everybody's okay about the end of the universe doesn't end?
I think they'll just have to use it responsibly, Harry, is what it's all about. And so you're getting to a point, and I've been kind of mulling around with a video of the idea, and it usually jumps from character to character. Like you said, like the video would be, why does DC never want to give us just lanterns who can use their ring? Why can't they let Batman win and, you know, not
just
lose the city and be Batman? And that's where you kind of get, and when you were explaining that, I just think, like, why do we have, and we have, me and you doing the podcast now for 10 years, almost 10 years, the site for over 10 years now. And there hasn't been really a lot of times where we're like, hey, guess what's pretty cool and working well? The Speed Force. It's always, and it drives you nuts. You keep saying, and the term is, the Speed Force is wonky. You say it a lot. Oh, it's just going to be the Speed Force is wonky again.
Emotional spectrum is wonky. It's the same thing.
It's always that. Why can't we just get, like, at one point and just call it, like, instead of Dawn of DC, call it DC, shit's working. DC, nothing's wonky. Because what you get, I don't know if you'd like this, Sarah, you get the heroes being capable and able to be heroes. All these books end up being them, just Batman here. Batman's not being Batman because he's fighting in the mind of himself, of the future, of the Asmer. You're not getting Batman. You're getting him.
In both books. You got Asmer, you got Barbados, you got Zurin R. You have all this stuff of the mind happening to Batman concurrently.
It's as if they don't know how to write any sort of hero that is winning because either they're embarrassed. Like, it's just, I understand a struggle. But please, you know, have their basic thing working and let's see them having fun. Let's see them. I mean, really, we say this in Jeremy Adams' deal, things are going pretty good. You know, you have some things. You can still have villains. You can still have you don't have to hamper them. You don't have to handicap them every race they do. You don't have to give everybody a head start. Just let them be heroes. And this is like the epitome of it in this book. It's just a struggle for them. Boy, it's a struggle for me. And I've been saying it so many times throughout. This is where people have to realize, too, is I've been trying to, I'm trying to grab anything from Eric, like this whole day. I need to see. So when this comes to the point, I know that I pretty much can tell he's not going to like it. But when you actually give me the info, maybe it is a good thing because I get all excited. I'm like, now Eric's there. He's on my team. He's on my side. Me and you have fought for a lot of different reasons. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Why people end up being clothed suddenly and saying a Nightwing book back
Grayson.
In the day. Grayson, yeah. But when we end up talking whether we like something together or not, I kind of like, that's fun. And this one, though, it ain't no fun. It was no fun going through it. And I was reaching out to you like, please, please, Eric, be on my team. But yeah, I think most people will be. It's so bad. But I'll give you the credits and then we'll get into it. Flash number 7 is written by Cy Spurrier. Art by Ramon Perez, Mike Diodato taking a little time off, I guess, or maybe out, I don't know. Sophie Dodgson and Hassan Atsumwe Elhal on letters.
Now, where did you find this? Where did you find the credits page? Because I had to freaking scour the internet to try to find it. I couldn't even find the letter.
You say this, Eric, because just as you know, pull the curtain deal, you come prepared, right?
Yeah.
You don't half step. Big Daddy Kane would be mad at me. Since you went and then came back, the deal for that little hiatus, I just go from the book because we don't do the read. That's also because we don't do the review. So while the song's fun, thank God the song was long enough. I'm going through that. Where the hell are these credits? I'm like, I go through it again. Then I was going to ask you, I'm like, oh, crap, I had to use Gabe. I went to our site. He had them there. So I used that. I guess they're right. Gabe did his due diligence, right? So, yeah, that's where I got them. I got them from our site because I don't see any credits in here. As if nobody wants to take credit for this nonsense.
Because all by just, Alan Smithy.
Yeah, all of this going. I mean, you start out with Max Mercury and Bart. This should be fan service. This should be like, oh my God, this is cool.
And it could be to a degree, because even the idea where we left Bart behind in the previous issues of The Flash, he's like, look, if you're not going to do anything to find Max Wally, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to go find Gold Beetle at the time point, and I'm going to find, and she's going to help me. So apparently the idea is, I was really confused at the beginning of this because, and I thought it was like really like
it
over the top.
It kind of plays
like,
out later, you know, how they explain it.
But the idea, it felt like it was fudging things. Like, well, Bart was going to time point. For some reason, he wound up in the sideways dimension that Max Mercury said, which he calls, what is it, Tickno or like some bullshit where it's Icto. It is the realm of Icto because it's in between the tick and the tock of time. Icto. So this horrible hell fucking sideways dimension. And even the idea of Bart doing this, it felt like it was a weird turn because in the solicits, it even says that Jay West goes to find Max Mercury. So it almost felt like things were changed because I had read the solicits beforehand because I was desperately trying to find some goddamn credits. But the idea of them, I go, that's weird. Okay. But I'm like, was it supposed to be Jay West? Because they did introduce the new power set of him where he's able to latch on to any speedster in the Speed Force and teleport to them. So like that makes a lot of sense. So when we have the idea that now the time point has been changed by the arc angles and all this other stuff and the problems with the Speed Force, where now the time point has turned into the sideways dimension of Icto, full of fucking monster men, I'm like, this felt like a weird situation, man. Like, eventually we do get there where the Linear Men and Inspector fucking Pilgrim want to tell us that, oh no, this is what happened to the time point. This is what it is now. But like, but was it always like this, or did it become this after Max Mercury went here?
I don't know. And you get, you said arc angles, you get Icto. Again, this is what I said more about Dan Waters at the point than Ram V. The idea of being clever at the expense of actually telling a story. You're busy trying to make clever names. We even ended up with the Thawne deal last issue.
The Crown of Thawnes?
Yeah, the Crown of Thawnes. Like everything, like I like to joke about wordplay, Eric, but I mean, seriously, we need something. And by the end, what you get in this whole convoluted bullshit issue, at the end, at least we do get, oh, too many speedsters. But that's what I said at the beginning. And I'm going to tell me the idea, too many speedsters are using it. We have to shut them down or else all of the fabric of time.
Which is a weird situation because what we had in the previous issue with the idea that somehow Eobard Thawne, who we should have all believed that the paradox had ended and he had died in Flashpoint Beyond, finally, for the millionth time, he is finally dead and buried. for whatever reason, he's back now, and he is the mastermind behind what has been going on in the series so far. But the way things should work with his negative Speed Force powers, that if you shut down the Speed Force and don't let people use it, he won't have a negative Speed Force to play off of, because you have to have the yin and yang. The more they use the like the regular Speed Force, the more you get from the negative Speed Force. So if he's actually the one doing this to where you want to shut it down, I'm like, what is the plan?
Okay, now you say that, and this is just all out of the blue, the deal. Would it have been cool if they actually start explaining a thing where Thawne is gone, like we said, like he get, and they actually have to bring him back, almost resurrect him or try to save him to actually get the yin and the yang. But like you said, it's going the opposite way.
It feels like it right now.
Maybe you would have had a cool story of, well, the problem is you're going too much and we don't have the yang here. We got to go save Thawne. Hey, that's a crazy play, but no, it's not. And then,
or even the idea that we go to try to save Thawne, but we end up with, you know, Daniel Westbeck, that reverse flash from the, like, the New 52 era,
really
which
cool.
would give some great freaking, like, countermeasures to what Wallace West is doing with the idea his daddy's back.
Yeah, so, but instead, it's just, everything just swirls around. And where I said about Ramvee, said, hey, I don't write for myself, I don't think Cy Spurrier's ever said. I just think Cy Spurrier likes to write this wonkiness and this craziness, and whether he's trying to be a Grant Morrison, whether he's trying to be an whatever he's trying to be, or if it's just him, it's not that enjoyable. It's hard to follow, even when at the end you get what should be the concept. The concept should be given to you in such an easy way of, hey, guys, there's too many speedsters and you're fucking shit up. But instead, you got to, you know, really work to get there. And even then, when you have Barry, who nobody feels right in this book anyway.
Well, Barry's the weirdest part about this, because
I think
Linda definitely has problems. She's affected by something going on here.
Yeah,
but when Barry
yeah.
comes to Linda to look for Wally, because apparently for all these weeks now that Barry hasn't been himself, he has been taken over by the Crown of Thawne or whatever kind of bullshit we're dealing with. Because in the previous issue, him and Wally were in the Speed Force and Barry ended up stabbing him through the chest, believing he killed him. Seemed like this was the whole idea of the Crown of Thawne. I don't understand how it works yet, but now Barry has woken up. It's like, 1 minute I'm mapping the multiverse, the next I'm waking up in Alaska, dripping in exotic energy and covered in blood. Someone else's blood. And you say you haven't seen Wally in 3 days? And Linda, she's a goddamn mannequin. She's a puppet. She is just blank behind the eyes.
She's on Zoloff when I was.
She is
it's
on
like,
Zoloff,
that sounds
essentially.
Great.
And
I
that's
think
the
I
thing.
Killed him. That's nice.
And it's
don't
such a
worried.
Weird idea, because she doesn't care about anything. Like, you know, idea that Iris still traumatized after whatever it was at school. Just the idea that whatever it was, because I don't think Simon Spurrier actually knows what it was. Jay's keeping secrets, waiting, feeding, cleaning. But all of this stuff goes on to the point where, oh my God, Linda looks like she's under a spell. I'm going to go to freaking Terrific Tech and start attacking the former Pied Piper Hartley. And I'm like, he just goes on this goddamn kick to where Mr. Terrific has to stop him with an energy gun to try to take him away from the Speed Force, because Barry's just losing his goddamn mind here more than he has this entire series. And now it's weird because his mind is finally back.
And he's like, yeah, like, he's attacking Pied Piper. It's like, what are you doing? And then I love
I know
where-
you're evil again, Rathaway. You can be the only one who's doing this to Linda.
And I love that the play, and this is where I think that there's a disconnect, where nobody, like, everybody feels off in this series from the get-go. And when you're having all this wonkiness, when you do have Linda, like, we're sitting there like, yeah, something's wrong, but I don't know, and I would even, who knows, because everybody acts wacky. So, and what even by the end of this, where we do get some info, and people are saying, oh my God, you get so much info in this by the end, I still have that feeling that I can't really play along, that I, like, I'm making up things like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if, but at the end, I can't say to you, oh man, I think this is this doing that because they're mad at that. I have no idea, because the story's so convoluted. I just want to see what happens, I guess, but it's just so over the top. I do like where Mr. Terrific, where he's keeping tabs on Pied Piper. He has a way to negate the Flash. And then even in that, where they're like, well, we have this tentacle. Everything that ends up being explained is never explained. Everybody
well,
has
it does
something
seem in the background
that they don't have.
Where Wally is all like obsessed with the idea of being in that tranquil place in the sideways dimension and stuff like that, where you're like, all his worries just like flow away. It does seem like Mr. Terrific is going to be the guy who gets shit done here, because he's even been working in the background with the Inspector Pilgrim of the Linear Men, because Inspector Pilgrim, he has the ability to travel back and forth throughout his timeline and stuff like that, almost like a Sam Beckett, but he's not leaping around. The thing is, though, he can't get there anymore. Things have changed, and he believes that something has murdered the future. And I'm thinking, How does something murder the future? Like, Bart tries to give some ideas.
Bart tries to give the idea of sci-fi movies and stuff that is tropes and stuff and cliches, right?
But the thing about that is I'm just trying to figure out how that works, because if the future right now is murdered from whatever's going on, Bart's from the future. We have the Legion of Superheroes from the future. Is everything gone in the future? What does that mean?
Like, or how is there a roadblock? Like, you have like a section. Like, you know what I mean? It's weird.
I do, but I don't have enough information to say so. I just have the Linear Men and their weirdest persona ever in this just saying, hey, shit's weird. We got to kill off some speedsters because you guys are doing too much shit, huh?
Yeah, with that. And then nobody even bothers to say, like, Bart, why is your head so goddamn big? I mean, this thing's a bobblehead. Like, look at him. He's a monstrosity. And it's a weird thing. And I think that when you start to try to figure out clues and things like this, where Cy Spurrier has Bart. Now, Bart should just say, if the future is ruined, I shouldn't be here. Something is wrong here. You're not really getting the thing. Because he does say, and, you know, throw shade. And how dare he throw shade at Back to the Future, but ends up saying, like, it's one of those, if something happens, it just happens. You don't have fading photography and blah, 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 blah. But then Bart pull that through and say, why are you there? If the future is all gone, he shouldn't be there. So how does it work? But they don't say, and when you get to the point, this is where, and there's so many times in this book that they say just nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. What does that mean? I don't know. And we just move on. Nobody knows. They use the terminologies. They're talking the talk. They are walking the walk. At the end, that I'm confused.
Let's just say that, like, you know, it's not like the movies. There's no paradoxes. Things don't happen like you think they would if the future was murdered and stuff like that. So what you're telling me then is that we can stop this because there's absolutely no stakes.
Almost like the way that you'll be able to time travel one day at a time. We'll be making our own future. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're making our own future. And his power, where they said, that isn't even well explained, the idea, well, I have this crazy thing. I get almost like an Assassin's Creed, where he could, but only in his own time. But then he says, I can transfer that out like 200 years each way, but then I couldn't. Then I tried to go to the future. It didn't work. They pulled me out of it.
I'm like, I don't know what your deal is.
No, and then you finally get to the part where then it does start, like, the little bit, and you get excited when you actually, oh my God, I understand this. Because then Bart's like, oh, that's why I didn't get to where I was trying to go, because it's no longer there. You know, you end up having the time point. It's gone. But even then you have Inspector Pilgrim. He's like, and this is anyone, because everybody's frozen. They're in this room with all these frozen speedsters. Now, just point out that there's not a lot of, like, you see some that, okay, I know who that is, kind of. I know that. This isn't like you have Wally, the big ones, but they're there. But then you have Gold Beetle in the middle. And, like, and that's who Bart was trying to find. You have Inspector Pilgrim's like, she's related to me. All these things are just thrown. But even just little things. This is anyone with an active relationship to the Deep Change. The what now?
He means the Speed Force.
He means the Speed Force.
I'm like, why do we got to play these games?
That, and it's such a little thing. And I don't want to, like, nitpick, but geez.
But even the idea that the Linear Men are now using terms given by these higher dimensional beings, the stillness or the arc angle and stuff like that. You are here in the timeline. Yes, you're outside of time. You can affect change, stuff like that. But you know what the Speed Force is. Call it the goddamn Speed Force. Why are you taking on new terminology from a sideways dimensional being?
Yeah. And why are you just like, why are you just making it hard to even go at one point? Like, man, I don't understand. Can you tell me what you just said? Well, unless I get a spider to put an infinite amount of information to blow up your head. And then, but I like that. That sounds like fun. I'm like, just give us some here. Info.
When he says this, I'm like, we're not going to learn anything because it's too complex to write.
That's why I ended up getting upset. Why I couldn't, I kept mentioning it. The idea where you will say a bunch of words that are just rammed together, say, I don't understand, and then they won't. This is option one. This is where I don't know what's going on. Can you explain to me? He says, well, you got two options. Option one is where I get a tame cosmic spider to pump like 3,000 hours out of paradoxical math into your head so you can begin to understand an atemporal organization devoted to the smooth running of a stochastic universe. That sounds awesome. Let's do that. I'm like, even at one point when he comes in and basically he's just going to give him coffee. Why are you making this? And he's like, hey, So I know this is a weird thing to say in a pocket reality formed of loop temporal waves, where even the illusion of the passing of time is the product of fake causality produced by our domesticated dimensional weavers.
That's all right. When he's talking about the idea when he learned about this, in the moments before the Bureau saved me from that empty future, I received a message, a burst of data from the intelligence so far above sentience that, well, there are no words. Best I can describe them is, conscious hypergeometries, cosmological abstractions, so complex that they become irreducibly simple. Beings that exist on the curve where infinity overlaps with zero. Look, I don't know who you're writing this for, but it's not fucking me.
No, if, as far as I know, Stephen Hawking, he died a couple of years ago, R.I.P.
In this trade, folks tend to call them just the arc angles. I'm like, I still don't know what the arc angles are from all that goddamn shit you just told me right there.
I don't know if this is a comic book script or mumble rap. They both don't make sense to me, Eric. You end up, from the moment you guys left Earth, the next few weeks are full of time quakes, dimensional just reality. Did you think it said reality tears, Eric? Reality tears. And then just like says, yeah, and we don't know. Like, everything ends with, but I can't explain it. But it's too complicated for you. But I don't know. It just, why are you doing this? Why do you think that people are enjoying this? That they, I end up where, again, this at the base level is supposed to be entertainment. And it's not entertaining. It just ends up swirling around. I just shake my head. And then you have to do stuff with like that whole thing of the deep change and the arc. Oh, God. And then they get captured. I mean, here's the thing.
Time to get blackbagged.
Perspective, you know, what's his name? Pilgrim. Mm-hmm. When you have him going, he does the right thing. He confuses the shit out of them. They don't even know what's going on. Like, they walk right.
Boss.
They end up.
They don't know what's going on.
He talks so much gooblygook.
Gave him the double talk.
Their heads are saying, get him, boys. They come out and get him because they don't. They walked into a trap. They would never know that they walked into anything. They have no clue what is going on. Can you imagine? Just me and you.
I zoned out, wasn't paying attention to all the freaking backup coming at me because of all the freaking scientific talk you're throwing at me.
Yeah, I mean, just think of it.
I'm just nodding my head and smiling, trying to be polite, and all of a sudden I'm in handcuffs.
I'm maxing your bar. Like, we are walking. First off, you'd have to wake me up. I would be walking. I'd be, like, poking at you. Like, what the fuck? Like, I you would be. Me and you both just smiling and shaking. Oh, that? Yeah, yeah. We'd walk right into it. Then you get where I said when you get Linda and you're like, that something's wrong, but yep. Maybe. But when you get the classic, this is Bart, and this made me laugh, where he says, Max, for pity's sake, stop thinking so damn positive. Who's that? Like, even
great
that little
bit. Ghost Bart.
He's from the future, yet now he's talking like a 1920s miner. Like, egads! You know, Eureka! I don't even know what's happening. And he's that big bobblehead. But what I got from this, too, is like, all this nonsense talk, and then Bart will just go, donuts! That's awesome!
And I'm right there with Bart, honestly. I'm like, yeah, that'd be really good right now.
I'm telling you, like, all this, and we're joking, but I do think that he was just confusing the shit out of them. To let them just walk into this deal, because then they're like, wait a second, this seems like it might have been a trap. It wasn't a rescue.
Get him, boys!
Get him, boys! And then you get like, meh, meh, see? Take this, copper! I'm like, who is this Bart? He actually said, hey, Mom, top of the world! I don't know what's happening. I expect them to have a cigar. Like, he's just sitting there like a baby smoking a cigar. It's all nonsense. Then they get captured. Then they're holding their hands. I'm like, is that something? Is that going to be able to make a conduit deal? Because if it is, I think Pilgrim either is Pilgrim going to be, I can't even make guesses. You think he's like trying to help them and he won't be?
Because no.
What, Mr. Terrific then is the biggest duped guy ever. He was doing lab stuff with this guy and setting all this up.
He is trying to save the universe. If it means suspending animation on the speedsters, then fuck it. Let's do it, Mr. Terrific. You and me, buddy. I'll get you coffee because I'm not doing any of the science shit, obviously. Yeah,
the arc angles, they wanted to kill all the people, but we allowed them in the suspended anime. Yeah, and then, now you would think that maybe having those holded hands in there, I don't know, this will be a way. Jay will probably be able to jump to them and he'll be like, you know, diehard Jay or something, probably shirtless. Even that Mr. Pilgrim seemed to be kind of that. What's going on with that homunculus? I don't know what's happening in this series.
And so I have to imagine, because I don't know, because with the way that Jay's Speed Force works differently than everybody else's, like, is he the key to this all working out in the end? Because he is, like, different than most people.
So what you're saying is he's probably the anomaly they have to kill? That's what you're telling me? But maybe.
Well, motherfucker's got homunculus jumping out their chest. I think we should kill it.
I'm still worried about him shirtless in the boiler room. That's all I can think of. I don't know. But maybe that wonkiness is caused by, I'm telling you, we're trying. Here. But maybe if they fix this, he'll be back to something normal. I don't know. But he said he didn't want to be a hero. I feel so bad for any writer
that has to try to take Jay West after this and make him himself again.
Can you imagine, like, here, they call me up, or you, and they're like, hey, Jim, we want you to write Flash after Cyspur, you know, just get ready and whatever. I'd be like, all right, what did Jeremy Adams write? Because I'm skipping this shit. I'm telling you, I would actually have just legitimately Wally coming out of the shower. Did I miss anything?
What a terrible dream.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Where's Jay? And then all of a sudden, Jay's in the boiler room without a shirt. And I'm like, oh, no, it was real. Oh, no. Or actually, I'd have Wally talking this nonsense and then somebody slapping him. Snap to it, boy. And he, oh, okay. Get him, boys. Take that copper.
But even the idea, when we leave that after Max and Bart are captured by the Linear Men, we see that Wally is alive from the previous issue. He's wound back out in that tranquil place called the Gallery, where a smoke lady's like, don't worry, you're fine here. And he's like, what the fuck is that? And I'm thinking to myself, honestly, I'm sitting there, I'm like looking at the smoke lady. And I'm like, no, he's not talking about that. He's talking about something in the background.
Is it the statue? She's like this,
it appears the very moment you begin to regain consciousness, I have an inkling, Wally, though I cannot tell how I know this, obviously, because
that's
who
what
could.
Everything in this book is, right?
That's its attempt by your human mind to perceive an unimaginable being. That is what we call an arc angle. And I'm thinking, like, you mean that giant stone statue? Is that the arc angle? Because we have other statues in this bitch. I didn't know, like, was that there before? I don't know.
Can you imagine, like, me and you, we end up going to an art museum? And then you're like, hey, Jim, look. And I turned around and I'm like, holy shit, what's that? And you're like, what the hell? It's Michelangelo.
It's a painting, dude. Shut the fuck
David.
Up. I can't take you anywhere.
That's the Statue of Liberty, you asshole. Oh, my God. I thought it was a giant lady.
So we have finally an arc angle who are some beings that are supposed to be the big deal of this series so far. And it's a goddamn statue because that's all can be to be perceived by the mind.
But the weird thing is, like, it almost wouldn't it be funny if it was Colonel Klink? That you haul it all goes over.
Simpsons did it.
So you end up where, when he does this, though, the funny idea of this is I don't know if it's because I kept looking. They don't seem to be looking directly at that statue. And if you are using that statue as a way to kind of be able to see, and the idea is, you know, oh, my God, if you saw the face of God, you'd die because you couldn't take the beauty of it and all that stuff. But why would it be behind a bunch of trees and bushes? It would just be there.
Next to a bunch of other statues.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A bunch of other statues, a stairway. Actually, he's like, holy shit, those stairs. I'm pretty tired right now.
That would be me.
I'm like, oh my God. And like, what? That arcangle? No, those stairs. Jesus Christ. We don't have to go up those, do we? Oh, no. Thank God.
You got escalators?
Like, just imagine he's wrong turn. He's going to turn in that other step. Oh, God. It's like these are statues.
Statues.
And then he's going to think everybody's
like, what's
a statue.
That's a statue of you. God.
Yeah, that's you. Oh, my God. When I got to this, I'm like, that might be one of the worst cliffhanger pages I've ever seen. Because it's that statue.
I'm
or
like, smoke lady.
I did think he meant her. Like, and he's talking to her at a point. And then he realizes, oh, my God. Like, even that, he's like yelling, what's that? It's a statue, you idiot. Like, what do you mean? Jesus there. But at the end, just the stuff that's going on, the interesting points are, you know, Max and Bart finding out the Speed Force is ripping apart time and space and they're captured. That's what you can go with. Maybe get Jay Garrick in there, like Rootin' Tootin' Rambo Jay Garrick. That'd be pretty cool. Like we had in the 1 Minute War or whatever.
That was great.
But this isn't fun. And when you do end up, like, some of the things, like, normally, you might have a little chuckles at Bart with the donuts or something like that. But when you're in the middle of just, I mean, you're sinking or swimming, and I'm sinking here, and all I'm getting is a little joke there, and then more rambling to tell me that you don't need to explain it. Yeah. Yeah, really. It's pretty bad. But what would you give it?
I would give this a 5 out of 10. Like I'm telling you, you can find a design by the end of this, whether you like it or not. But it's going to be wrapped in enigma, wrapped in a bunch of bullshit to get to that design.
Yeah, like I make the joke. It's like an enigma wrapped in a riddle in a whisper down the lane. I give it a fuck you 5. Oh, jeez, I hit the wrong one.
Yeah!
Thank you, Sammy. Sammy messed up. I didn't cue you. Sammy, get out of there with that other one. But yeah, it's rough. It's rough. There you go. But we're going to finish off. And I'm telling you, while this is supposed to be a mind bender, this next one should be kind of easy to understand and somehow is even worse, I think. But what are we talking about?
It's not even worse. It's just what it is. Power Girl number 7, written by Leah Williams, art by Marguerite Savage, Becca Carey. And Becca Carey, that's it. Because I'm telling you, it really threw me off because I told you throughout this, I have the Flash credits, you have Power Girl, and you're like, all right, I'm doing the opposite, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, I forgot. And the Power Girl, for some reason, I was thinking the Power Girl was more at your book. Fuck that. What's going on with this, though? I mean, what's...
Look, Jim, we're dealing with a mystical realm that we're going to with Power Girl and Supergirl from the other of Ferimbia. But in this one, we're going to find out who the big bad is with Madame Avis, who was taken over from the previous queen, Adoris. And they're going to be helped by people like Epione Pruxis. But the thing is, when we have a background of this, because I know I'm saying their name wrong, because I wanted to go look it up.
I want to actually point out that you're doing what I did, because it's not Adoris, which it should be. It's Adroris.
I'm sorry, Adroris. You're right.
And, you know, and what I'm saying is, though, why are you making it that hard? Why isn't it just Adoris?
We have the story being told us by the storyteller and bard of this world, Epione Pruxis. And I feel like there's a better way to say that name. I was going to look it up, but I forgot about it because
I don't.
Epione. But she's telling us a story about Madame Avis, who, like, you know, she was a scientist, always curious as a kid. She was Avis Stanislava, and she was doing all those tests on people, trying to freaking, you know, take control of them, like
insect
through a hive
things,
mind
yeah.
with a mandible helm. I'm sorry, mandibular helm is what she has.
Bueller?
Well, Bueller. But it's such a weird idea because she says how she was stopped by Superman and had to go and do all this stuff, but she was testing on animals. But then even like Streaky showed up, and it seemed like a weird situation where the idea of Streaky showing up and stopping her before she ever went to Ferimbia seems very odd because she already had her henchmen from Ferimbia, Tragedy and Comedy, who were working. So the whole background of this character
work.
And the timeline, it doesn't make a goddamn lick of sense. And is it because, like, you know, our goddamn bard and storyteller of this world doesn't know?
No.
Who knows? I just don't know.
No, it's because
it doesn't make sense.
It's because she can't keep track of her own story. Plus, you go with this deal and it's told through like a storybook type deal. And it kind of really like throws a lot of last issue, like seems like it wants to disconnect some things. But when you get this idea of Superman going and finding a girl who's doing scientific experiments, insect-based scientific experiments to unwilling participants, but he actually has to, they mention, he thought she was great because a lot of girls, they end up getting some crap for being into science. So he, why? And almost feels like he said, oh, I really think you're cool doing science because you're a girl, so you just stop doing that there science. I'm going to go over here, and you just go away. And then she just started doing it on animals. It's a weird play. Like, everything seems like doesn't want to have, like it's supposed to be like a signaling test, but it's such a weird way to do it. Of, like, Superman saw that she's in science, and she sought knowledge and knew that women have long been persecuted for their intellectual pursuits. No, she was doing insect experiments on people.
And then out of nowhere, on top of the idea of insect experiments where Superman and Shrieky the Supercat have to stop her, she's like, you know what? I'm going to leave this planet, look for a better place to do my science, stuff like that. But it turns out, to Avis's great fortune, a better land also sought her. Queen Adroris, Gildruski, powerful fractal witch, sends Avis from afar and folded time and space to bring her to Ferimbia. And then she's like, oh shit, put on this freaking crown of thorns I have here, and now you're under my insect control where you're going to sleep for 1,000 years. I'm going to take over your land and import people through a mystical drug from my land here so I can take over their minds as well and continue my research until that meddling Power Girl and Supergirl show up in cartoon-looking like caricatures of themselves and try to stop me.
What's happening? What's that? And then you go and you have that as, I mean, what that is not a, it feels like it's trying to recap something. No, it's an info dump. because you never really told any info. Before, it was just a drug that a couple of college kids were doing while they were laying in bed, and we end up in this fantasy world of Pharimbia.
Well,
I mean,
even
every
with the
step
drug,
of the
what
way,
was it called? Avalon?
Yeah.
But, like, the whole idea, like, it seemed like it was an alien, like, symbiote kind of thing that would take you over. But in this one, we find out that, look, when she got the Pharimbia, you see, Alice's early Earthen experiments had been missing one crucial ingredient, which the trapped Queen Adroris now provided in abundance. Magic had been the missing variable. The helm Avis crafted kept the queen in an enchanted sleep and unable to now stop Avis from draining her magics to repurpose them for Avis's own evil means. So what you're telling me is this alien drug that we had that, like, power goes over, it's just fucking magic is what it is.
Yeah, it's that, but then it says it's more based on the insect. It's all over the place.
I think it's – I just don't know why we didn't do the idea that Supergirl and Power Girl don't have their powers here because they were struck with the magic.
And that – I was going to say it. I'm glad you said that. The whole thing that I'm thinking when they're starting to explain this, are they – why didn't somebody say, oh, that's why our powers don't work. Oh, I get it. Magic. They never say it. They just kind of go and they're like, man, this walking is bullshit. Like, man, I wish I could fly. Man, this is for the birds. No, it isn't, because birds fly. Oh, I got you. See, word player. But they end up where they're going through, and then just even, like, where is, like, everybody's missing. We don't know where everybody is. Where are all the Avalon users? They just disappeared, but then they didn't.
Breaking
then
rocks.
They did. They're breaking rocks. And then even then, it's like they're not doing it. They're doing it from a controlled set of, everything is there to confuse you. This is not a difficult story. You have sent pretty much, and you do this a lot in, like, a manga, where you know, it's Tron. I mean, it's anything. It's Narnia.
No,
you
Tron's
good. Just have
good.
Fun. Well, I'm saying, you're there in this fantasy world. You know you're going to have to gather up some troops. You're going to have, you don't have power, so you go. But why are you just doing weird shit throughout to just not have
I'm
fun?
I'm telling you, it even becomes Return of the Jedi at this point, because while we have, you know, everybody of this land taken over pretty much could be any troop that Avis needs to be, because she's the queen bee controlling everybody. We just have a powerless Power Girl and Supergirl. Supergirl happens to be wearing a suit of armor at one point, so she's at least protected, but they're able to do everything on their own without powers. And even when they are getting overwhelmed, all it takes is Epione and all the children that were left behind that she's been caring for, riding freaking milker goddamn pig monster things to fly in and save the day Ewok style.
And these are just, yeah. And these are just, like, thrown at you. So you go and Epione Prux.
I feel like there's a way to say that name,
Epione,
and I don't know it.
Epione, the bard and storyteller extraordinaire, at your service. Hey, everybody, I'm here, and I'm taking care of, like, the idea of all these orphans. And at first I thought that I didn't know, and I kind of got lost in the idea that not everybody here wasn't, like, these college kids that took drugs. I'm like, boy, they all got busy quick, and why are they all monstrosities? But the idea of the actual people from
Pharimbia,
their kids were left behind, though. I think you could have them breaking some rocks. And she's taking care of them, and she's like, oh, we're hidden here. Hidden enough that later you have Avis just looking at her scrying pool, which they said you couldn't see, but she's seeing them there, talking in this place, so she should just be able to go. But, you know, tuck in this whole deal, but it's just like, oh, and here's these kids. And the one kid comes over and he does some boob jokes. Then we end up, oh, you want some milk. And everything is like, here, have this. I don't know what that is. Oh, I think it's milk. And then they go over and the joke is that, wait a minute.
Pig buffaloes with wings.
Yeah, with wings.
You have nipples?
Yeah. And even at that one point where you end up having, wait a minute, milk, they're avian. I'm like, that's not a great joke. But the idea that at that point, it's almost the kingpin joke of, man, I was milking that cow for like an hour. Boy, it was a stubborn one. We only have a bull. Like, there's the joke, right? And you know, that's the joke, but why?
But the only reason we have this joke is because you have these creatures here, which are like, what are they called? Mudren.
Creatures
Mudren. That we've
again,
been,
not really something that flows, right? Mudren.
Instead of milk, that's called pelk. So we pelk the Mudren to make everything we need that would be human milk, obviously. So when you have tragedy and comedy who are guarding the gates of, like, Castle Malice for the Avis woman, they're like, oh my God, what great pelkers. So we have all of this set up here with the children and the
just
goddamn Mudren thing.
Joke.
So we can say, look at Power Girls to say, what great pelkers.
Yep. And then
I get that reference.
And she says, I get that reference. Now, in this whole deal, first off, you're setting up that joke way too long. So you're doing that joke. you end up having these kids that, you know, there's not enough time for a lot of stuff, but you're spending too much time with nonsense. So then when you actually get to what would be the story and the big, hey, let's storm the castle, boy, that's like done. I mean, there's no struggle. You end up where they're fighting and then boom, you get the Pelkers and the, it just ends. And then you end up getting this crown off of the queen. She banished. There's no rules. I don't know what's happening in it. And it's just, it's nonsense. It's complete and utter nonsense.
But the thing is, we banish Abbas and we, like, the queen makes Power Girl and Supergirl Knights of Ferimbia, guardians from henceforth, and they can come and bring people if they want or whatever. And the kid, the college kids that took the drug and got captured to begin with, some of them came back and others said, you know, college is too fucking hard. I'm staying at Ferimbia because we got good fucking Pelk over here.
Yeah, really? Why not? You got the Pelk. And yeah, so when you have this, then you're going to do this.
Are you going to explain this to their families? Please. What are you doing with these kids staying around in Ferimbia?
And so in this, too, most of the time you do these stories, what you're going to do or try to do is do some of those, you know, fantasy tropes. You're going to have to. But you don't do that here. Yeah, you get Supergirl in some armor. That's about it. I mean, everything else.
You redress Power Girl and Supergirl. For some reason, the shirt that you give Power Girl still has to have a tit window.
Yeah, yeah. And then make tit jokes, which I've been expecting because that's Leah Williams likes to do that. So when you end up where the only, there's only one thing,
Somehow Supergirl feels like the older one here between her and Power Girl.
Yeah, because Power Girl acts like an idiot. But I do like that she Leroy Jenkins it. Where it's like, hey, okay, totally. We need a distraction. We're going to sit here.
Hey, idiots.
Hey, idiots. It starts running. I got a giggle there. But again, that's not really, you're not showing me you know the characters. And then, like you said, once the fight starts, you end up like, what's happening? I thought, like, they know that they're non-powered. What's happening? Your powers aren't here. I still trained. So you threw it all out. You didn't get any. You're not having anybody having to think, really. It just ends up happening. And then they get saved by Pelkers and...
Mudrin
and Ewoks and Pelkins and Queen Adroris Gildrock and Ferimbia and Avis Stanislava. Like, seriously. And then by the end, it's just like,
God, I can't wait for the House of Brainiac.
It happens so quickly, these things that happen, that I don't even know what's really happening. Like, okay, I guess she got banished. She got that thing off. Because then they were like, they're using, like, it's so weird. She has that thing that she has, you know, Abbas has that deal, but they also have to take off the controlling thing off the queen,
off the
but then that ends up doing something they work through, and then she banishes Abbas. So at the end,
you'll be sorry, Power Girl, this isn't over.
Yeah, and then at the end, they end up, like you said, like, okay.
And for some reason, they made Supergirl taller than Power Girl in this, and that feels weird,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she is taller. And then we get the, you know, New Hope ceremony. I was waiting for, at one point, one of the, what do they call it, the milker things?
The Mudrin. The
Mudrin would go, and they'd look over and giggle because, like, the Chewbacca, get out of here. But they're having a big feast, and half those college kids are like, screw this, I can stay here and just eat shit and not do anything,
I'm
in. I
pay back my debt. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm in. I don't have to go to class here. Call me when you got class. And everybody's clapping.
I
oh my
never
God.
Call him.
Wonder Girl or Power Girl and Supergirl, you guys are the greatest. Here you go. Have some medals. And now you're going to go back. And I don't like that kid. And then at the end, you just have this like last bit of a like epilogue deal. And then you have again that bard with another fuck up name. I accept cash tips. It's bad.
These last three issues.
Hardly a Power Girl book.
I'm telling you, it's issue number 7, and the last three issues have been a joke.
Yeah, and that's the problem is, it's a joke, not because, oh man, this is the funniest thing, it's a joke, because it doesn't show, you know. Because
we had no story before House of Brainiac.
Maybe people will say, oh, I tried to have fun with this, whatever, but you're not respecting the characters at all, and you're exposing yourself to not knowing the characters. This you can play, and when you do end up having that fish-out-of-water story with both Supergirl and Power Girl, you could have shown something a little better than this bullshit. This is complete
and
utter bullshit.
You've changed Power Girl completely with her name, power set, and all this other stuff, and you've barely done anything to explore those elements, and now you have three issues that are pretty much joke issues and made her powerless. So I'm like, why are you doing so very little to explore this new status quo of Power Girl? And even the idea where she talks about how she's a science tech engineer threat. I'm like, you're a journalist at the Daily Planet now. I'm like, you're not even a part of this fucking world. You might like report on it, but like, you're not a part of it anymore the
and
way
I,
you used
I
to
love
be.
The idea where she's saying this, but yet Leah Williams herself, what is this thing you call a voice message? A voice massage, was it?
It's the first one she ever left.
She wants to play the idea that she is such a, you know, doesn't know what's going on. Now she does, but she does. And now she's like, even that Leroy Jenkins moment, it's just like, hey, when it starts running in, like nothing. It's just, all this is Leah Williams like, I'm just going to write a fucking story and I'll just shove them the fuck in and do whatever I want to try to make jokes. And hey, I'll put
somehow
some
on
in.
Earth was better.
Yeah, it was. And I'll even say that at this point, I told you that Doctor Strange over at Marvel, they did the same thing. You had a pet issue leading into a let's enter a fantasy world video game thing. And I didn't even like the first issue of that. But it's way better than this. This is it's just bad. It's so bad that it's like nothing. It means nothing. And you said it. You're right. This was just wasting time because you can't do a full arc.
Why couldn't we do 3 issues of dealing with the symbiote ship and Kalex to get to the house? Unless we're dealing with that shit during the House of Brainiac.
Maybe,
maybe
like in my mind you would think, and maybe that's a bigger story than 3 issues. But you could have like put it aside. But in this, like you got to come up. This is what I think is like, hey, this is what happens when the editorial says just waste 3 issues because we have to get. And boy, she did. You know, mission accomplished, because this is just nonsense. It's nonsense. And somebody gave it a 10, Eric, a 10, a perfect score for this bullshit. It doesn't make sense to me, but what would you give it?
I would give this a 4 out of 10, where you could have a strong, really good looking book featuring Power Girl and her new status quo. You turn it into a Nickelodeon cartoon just to waste time and my time.
Funny, I was actually, one of my things was we end up, happens a lot, I think, at Marvel too. But we keep getting like, oh, what did they write before this? Oh, My Little Pony. Or oh, they did some Rick and Morty. Like, this is the reverse. This is what that should have been. This take this stuff over to that bullshit. You have characters that people love and want to. And like you said, you have changed the status quo. You need to show us why you did and show us why that would be good. Why that would. And so maybe you could have had this still. Don't have their powers taken away. Have a world of magic, but still have there. But you don't even like the idea. This is magic based land. You don't even get that. You don't even have really any magic being used to get. It's just there.
She has new powers to punch through freaking astral planes. And the 6th issue, you take that power away from her when you barely used to begin with.
Yeah. And so, yeah, show us how you know the character, not show us why I think you don't. And give us some substance. And you're not. You're here joking around. And again,
with overly cartoon artwork.
Yeah, it fits the story, but does the story fit my brain? Nowhere. The answer is no. But what is your, and I'm a 3. I'm a 3. Okay. And I didn't, the art fits the story, but still, it's nothing. Like, who's ever going to, a 10, Eric? Like, somebody's going to sit there. What are your favorite,
book.
I really like the anatomy lesson. By Alan Moore. What do you like? Oh, I like the Fremembia shit from Leah Williams. Like, this is work. It doesn't. Coyote Gospel and this, Fremembia. Can't even say it. Yeah, holy moly. But what is your book of the week?
My book of the week is Green Arrow number 10.
That's mine, too. And like you said, I want some more details, but it was some fun fan services, bringing back some characters. And in one of the few books that is, you know, bringing some really, really cool characters back in, I expect that when we finally get back to like an Aquaman book, we'll kind of get a feel like that as well. And I could even see Joshua Williamson doing that book the way he's doing this Green Arrow. Yeah. So with all of that, though, we have some books next week. Obviously, hopefully some will be a little better than what we get here. I know that the play is, I ended up giving Green Arrow a 7, and you gave it a 6.5, and that being our books of the wizard, it's tough. But
it's rough, yeah.
Yeah, it is rough, and don't think that we enjoy that, because it ends up, I like when we actually really like books. Maybe we'll get that next week, but here we go, Eric. Ooh, we don't have a ton of books. 2 of these will be on the Patreon spotlight.
Just the same amount this week.
Yeah, 2 books picked by the badasses of the Get Fresh crew.
Beep, boop.
And we have Batman number 146. Okay. I hear that Punchline will be making an appearance, and also that
Phase 4.
Also that Superman might show up for round 2 against the Failsafes. These are things that I heard whispered down the deal. Hopefully he can maybe put a dent in them this time. We have Birds of Prey number 8.
That book's doing stuff, maybe.
Fashion show. Erica's, well, I was just sitting there while you were saying that. I'm trying to think, what did we do? Oh, fashion show. Fashion show.
And, you know, shoehorning Vixen into it and saying she was a member of the Birds of Prey previously.
Yeah, from that one issue.
But she helped out.
Yeah, she helped out. Yep, but they're there because they're mad at that Birds of Prey and they want revenge. Vixen. Blue Beetle number 8. I'm telling you, I got to sit there now. I'm like, yeah, could this be? It can't be worse. It can't be. We also have Neil Before Zod number 4.
I look forward to that.
We have to see what's going on in that. What's Zod going to do? His lady love is gone. Or is she?
Right now, I look forward to Batman and Neil Before Zod.
I look forward to Batman. I'm telling you, no matter what happens, I always look forward that Birds of Prey is finally going to do something that I like. Because I love the characters.
I gave up on that.
I love the characters, though. And I don't hate Kelly Thompson, but boy, this book is not good. Blue Beetle.
I'm telling you, look. The idea, this is Birds of Prey number 8. I have spent 7 months, essentially, saying that the next issue is going to make everything come together. And that's a long time to be saying that.
Seriously, Eric, I'll point out World's Finest, the New 52. Don't give me your bullshit.
It'll get better.
Every month. You would buy it. Like, you bought it again? Like, every time. Like, I'm going to go tell Tony.
It had Huntress and Power Girl. It was called The World's Finest of those two. It had to be good at some point.
I love that you end up, and it was always like, well, I forgot to tell Tony not to put it. I'm like, bullshit, you keep getting
it. And he already put it in my pool list, so I didn't want to say put it back on the shelf. I bought it.
I was going to send you a link. Sometime the last couple weeks, somebody brought up that book in the when Damien and Huntress met.
It's the best
issue. Talking about it. Yeah, they were talking about that because somebody was saying that they wanted Damien to be in. Like, I wish Damien would show up at the JSA to finally meet that. It was
his sister, yeah.
And somebody said, oh, you didn't read. Like, they ended up, blah, blah. Ooh, Eric loved that one. Also, Sully ended up asking me at one point because I had joked about the issue where Constantine makes out with himself that I thought was the thing I kept talking about. Yeah, and I found that for him, showed him the deal. But Neil Before Zod, too, right? Poison Ivy, you like more than me. Hopefully,
I do.
You know we're there. I don't know.
We're still dealing with the year one stuff. I want to see where it goes to the origin of Poison Ivy.
The Gardener, right? Gardener.
Yeah.
And Shazam number 10. Shazam number 10. We'll see. I know. I don't want to say it's Josie Campbell. It does still list Mark Waid on the clip, but that's on the comic roundup. I'm going to look now. It does not in the regular deal. It's Josie Campbell and Lupacino on the art, Emmanuel Lupacino, who we do like. So
I like Josie Campbell, too. Just the last issue of Amazon's Attack really fell flat for me this week.
Yeah, I'm not as big a fan as Josie Campbell as you are, but I hope that I know that most people are going to be worried that she's just going to come in and like all of a sudden, Billy, you'll never
marry
be seen
Marvel
again
time.
In Mary Marvel. I expect her to actually force it the other way. You know what I mean? To really show, hey, I'm here
both.
To do Shazam. And I do, too. I want it both. And I do like the cover. I talked about the cover to you before where it's the house and you see like a cross section and Billy is fighting dragons. You end up having Talkie Tawny on the toilet, right? With pants down, pretty sexy. You get Darla for some reason playing a guitar. Mary Marvel's trying to study and Pedro and Eugene, they're playing video games. So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
And then you also have what I think might be the dinosaur. He's saying room for one more. And then there's something else that I can't see what it is with a big bowling alley. I don't know. Where's Freddy? I didn't see. Oh, Freddy's in the attic. Freddy looks like he's drawing pictures and them right next to him in what does appear to be Greg Brady's, you know, attic deal where obviously Freddy is smoking tons of pot. He's got some blacklight posters and the dimensional portal is open and like a tentacle scene. Pretty cool cover. I think it's pretty cool. And Darla playing the guitar, pretty cute. But it's Moving Day Part 1. I don't know.
Gotta go to that new house.
Yeah. I hope for the best. I actually hope that it's good. And there are people who, you know, me and you, I talked to somebody this past week again. The idea that we don't cancel books or things. Yeah, we'll stop readings because it's bullshit and we can't take enough. But it's not like, oh, that writer, this writer, what? But some people have said they're never reading any Mark Waid stuff again. I'm wondering if they're going to jump on for Josie.
That's what I was talking about.
I don't think they will, though. But maybe. Maybe this will be cool. Maybe we can be hopeful. I hope that we get one book that we like. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's tough. It is a tough thing when the book, because we don't have any control of it, and we're not going to drop books. I, again, when I keep saying, like, this week somebody again said, why do you guys bother with the, it was more nice about it. Like, hey, for your own sanity, why don't you drop that? I said, when it gets really, really bad, and more of the idea of like, same thing over to, like we will, but we're here to just review the books and we have no control if they're good or not. So we just go with the flow, Eric, go with the flow. But that's about it. But again, if you want to listen to our spotlights and a ton of other shows, and to throw it out there, next month, I do believe there is an annuals week at the end of April. If I'm not mistaken, am I, Eric? Am I mistaken? I thought that I told you there was. I'm gonna check right now. I hit the wrong thing. Maybe there is, Eric. You know, the April. Let's see. There's one, two, three, four, five Tuesdays. So, yes.
And the whole idea, though, that, like, we talked about, or you and I talked about the idea that DC was going back to Wednesday shipping. When does that start?
That starts, I think, in July. I think it's in the middle of summer. Probably what they're, I would think that when they do it, it'll probably be at the very beginning of whenever the Absolute Power starts. Like, maybe that's the big deal. And I think that they were kind of getting some flack from, you know, stores and also the distribution, you know, like everything get there on one day. So they're going to go back to that. That's cool. It kind of ruins some of the way I do some things, but that's fine. I'm see, that's the problem. I'm used to this now. It doesn't really affect the podcast one bit, though. So that's fine. But yeah, so all of that, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/weirdscience. And if you, you know, are a little wary, right? You're like, I want to see if they have something. You can go for a 7-day free trial and check out everything on the level that has the most stuff. That includes the weekly spotlight. So you can check out all that and get early access to the show each week, too. It comes out Saturday night. So with all of that, that is it. Thanks, everybody. I hope that you at least found something to laugh at, maybe even enjoy. I don't know. Hopefully. Some people like some things more than us or whatnot. But if that's the case, that's cool. But what do we say at the end of the podcast, Eric?
Everybody have a great week.
Week.
Keep it weird.
Weird.
And we'll see you at 7.
See you in 7. Every other show. Your mouth. Every other show sucks.